welcome to the List Film Podcast. Jenny, look at me. Look at my face. welcome. And we're happy today, I guess. So for the new listeners, we're a weekly podcast where we pick a topic and then we list our top five films belonging to that topic. We're four hosts, myself, Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
Adam Scott.
I'm Kevin.
And today we have a guest. Brian, keep it up, and I'll kick you right out. I'm kidding. So I spoiled it. So Brian with a Y is on today.
Hello.
Was Brian with an I our last guest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That was last week. Yeah.
It's felt like a really long week for me. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Getting longer now that I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. So then tell the listeners who you are, Brian.
I'm Brian Peril.
Mm. With the Y.
With
I don't understand why.
And along with Adam Scott over here, we started ShootingTheScript.com, where we write reviews and other things. And I've been on here before.
Yeah. Maybe this is people's first episode that they're listening to. So.
Yes, and I'm back. So apparently you guys didn't mind me so much.
Well, the listeners did.
You're desperate.
all right. So there you go. It's Brian with the Y's here today. And... should we get into movies you guys have seen in theaters? Apparently, you guys all saw 21 Jump Street. So
yes,
let's get over with, guys.
Fuck science.
So how was it?
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It was lots of fun. I was really pleasantly like I thought it was going to be funny, but I didn't expect it to be like I was the jackass in the theater who was laughing really loud the whole time.
Yeah,
even shit you weren't supposed to be.
Yeah.
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 I mean, you knew it was going to be funny, but the thing that I think is really surprising because I'm not a Channing Tatum fan. I haven't been. I've seen not all of his stuff, but I mean, I know you guys liked him in Haywire.
He was good in that.
Yeah.
Did you not see A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints?
No. The thing, he hasn't been bad in anything I've seen. I just haven't seen what the big deal is.
Have you seen Step Up, dude?
I've not seen Step Up.
He's amazing.
I guess that's the big deal. No, but like, I saw like
somebody did take me serious and be like, Ricardo fucking loves Step Up, part 3D.
Part 3D.
This is for a dance list now?
Yeah. I'm saving it.
No, but he's hilarious. He I think steals more scenes than Jonah Hill.
He does kind
of. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like there's a lot of great couple Scott Pilgrim alumni in there, which is awesome. A little young Neil, a little Envy.
Don't keep spoiling, dude.
I'm not spoiling. You can't spoil a comedy.
So how much would you guys pay to see this movie in theaters?
I would go ArcLight again. Really? Oh, I didn't go ArcLight, but I would go ArcLight. Yeah.
So 14,
I thought it was really funny. 75. Yeah, I would totally go see it. And I would go see it again, if that means more.
Yeah. So you
I would
pay,
see it twice in theaters.
You paid $36 for it.
Okay, maybe I would pay mid-range and then one ArcLight.
It's one of those where I came home and... You know, I tell my wife, like, hey, you need to go pay to go see this one. Like, usually she can wait. And I'm like, no, you're gonna enjoy this one. It kept reminding me of a bunch of things, too. I kept, like, trying to pin it down, and I think I got it. It's got, you know, it's obviously got some of that Hot Fuzz mm-hmm. elements to it.
Yes.
But it's got to be, like, a straight-up homage. I don't know if anybody caught it. National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1. It's got some of that in there.
Shoot him. I guess so. I mean,
anybody remember that?
I do remember that, but it's not as crazy.
That's what I'm saying. It tones that down a bit, and it's also with the high school stuff. I think like Just One of the Guys.
Yeah, I definitely had that Just One of the Guys vibe too.
So, how much would you pay to see it, Brian?
I just told you. I'd tell my wife to go see it. That's me paying double. That's my money. That's my money.
And, I'm right there with Jenny. Because I used MoviePass the first time, but I'd pay to see it again.
Okay.
Kevin,
did you see that?
I'm going to buy it. How about that?
I did not.
I'm going to buy it on Blu-ray.
Oh, wow.
Did anybody see anything else?
I saw this before the last podcast, but I wasn't here. I finally saw Chronicle. And I went into it with really low expectations because both of you didn't really like it. And then I'd heard bad things, so I went into it really, really like, I mean, it's going to be okay, I guess. And, of course, when you go into a movie with low expectations, it's going to be better than you assume.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. There were some parts where I was like, that's a little much. But, like, right near the end, it was like, that's a little much. But other than that, I thought it was a really fantastic origin story. Origin story of villain, origin story of maybe superhero. I mean, I thought it was good.
Dual in origins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you
dual
don't see very many origin stories of villains. And so that was kind of interesting.
I didn't see it. I'm just the whole found footage thing. I'm waiting for DVD on all these ones that come out. But
oh yeah,
what the fuck is that?
That's a motorcycle.
Yeah. That was my stomach.
They have two wheels and they run on the road.
I mean, did it feel like you could have just done that movie without the found footage?
I mean, yeah, probably. It worked for it fine. I mean, some of the movies that do have it, you're just like, that was dumb as shit. But this one, it worked because it was, you could tell it was one camera the whole time. Well, they had the feeling of one camera the whole time, which was kind of cool.
Okay.
So that was neat. Because then it really felt like found footage. I don't know. But it wasn't technically necessary.
I think Kevin and I are on the same wavelength right now. Like, it did not feel at all like found footage because everything was lit so perfectly. And they had like high-definition cameras.
Once he starts... The camera starts moving around.
Yeah, because he starts...
Right, he starts doing it. Yeah, I heard that.
I heard that. Like, well, then what's
the
point?
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, there was those parts where I was like, nobody's noticing this flying camera right now, really?
Well, and then the parts where before it would start cutting around the scenes, like, oh, the security camera footage and all that jazz, when it ran into someone else holding a camera and it cut back and forth between two people having a conversation, both holding cameras, I was like, fuck this movie.
That was when I was like, this is getting a little out of hand. But other than that, I don't notice things like lighting and stuff because I'm not in movies. So that's not stuff that I technically notice.
Well, you're real human, so you're not in.
That camera thing, that reminds me of Man Bites Dog. You guys seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he's got, I mean, I think that's like one of the original.
Yeah,
found footage
type of things.
Yeah,
because it's got like a documentary crew following around the serial killer, mm-hmm. and but the best thing is when they run into
the other crew.
That's so warped. You're just like, what? Who thought of that? Another fucking crew.
But that movie, I actually love.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I haven't seen most of these, but I am a Cloverfield fan, and a lot of that. I mean, you talk about whether the found footage looks real or whatever. It works brilliantly because you got T.J. Miller doing the camera. You know, he's funny behind the camera. Like he steals that movie. Yeah, I think
he does. I actually really love that movie, and actually, I just coincidentally today I saw the preview for the Chernobyl Diaries, I think.
Oh, yeah.
There was a preview for that.
Is that found footage?
I couldn't tell. It starts off like it might be, but then it's like, oh, no, we're not. We're just fucking with you.
Because so it's modern family horror film.
Yeah. But it looks really cool, and I always thought Chernobyl was kind of a creepy place.
Yeah. I'm surprised there aren't more Chernobyl movies when you think about it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but instantly I'm like, those people are stupid. Like
I know, you're like,
let's,
why are you going
let's vacation there? The tr- let's take a picture in front of. Like, well, who does that?
You can do that. I mean, you can take a tour.
I don't think I would ever go to Chernobyl.
I think I would.
The Vice Guide to Travel, where they go to Chernobyl.
Yeah, but at least in like Wolf Creek, so it's scary. Like, hey, that's a cool thing to go visit. I understand.
What if you get radiation poisoning?
No,
for real.
Every time
you
go,
you have a guy like. What's
it's
his name?
It's Doc.
I saw the No Reservations episode where he went to Chernobyl.
Yeah. Why are you bringing up that trailer instead of the Prometheus trailer, which is I think we should be talking about?
Because we're talking about found footage, idiot.
No. Yeah. You.
Just slap him down. Just slap him back down.
We were talking about aliens that I would have brought it up, dude.
Why weren't you talking about aliens? Come on.
Wait, before we haven't finished talking about movies that we've seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else have other people seen?
So... I was supposed to go with Kevin and Ricardo, but I was sick. But I did go later. Did you guys see John Carter?
Yes, we did. I saw John Carter too.
Okay. Yeah. So I was in the same boat as you were with having your lowered expectations with Chronicle. Jenny.
Okay.
I'm pointing. No one can see me pointing at Jenny, but I was.
Stop pointing.
I was expecting a really shitty movie, and I had fun. It wasn't amazing,
but it wasn't as shitty as I thought. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't work, but it is fun. You're like, okay, I'm happy I saw it in theaters, but... Like I don't know what you guys thought. The prologue to me was terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, you compare it to other things where it perfectly sets up a movie and you understand what's going on, and instead you're like, wait, like do you remember anybody's name in that thing? I'm like, whose name? What planet? What's
Brian
happening?
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah. Colonel Powell. I knew that one.
I was a big fan of the book. I've read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, it's Barsoom. I get it.
Yeah. But it was more. It's more than. It was more like, oh, this scene is okay, but it could have been amazing. You know what I thought? The first thing I thought when it first started was this could have been a really great Pixar movie.
Well, it's just so overstuffed with some of that stuff. Like, I like the universe. I like the world. But I had so many questions about it. I'm like, what's with the fucking city that walks? Like, did they explain that? No, we're just moving on. Wait, what? Like, who are these other Tharks? Like, what's up with them? No, we're moving on. And so it's so full of that stuff. And then you have the opening, which is just, it sets it up so poorly. It has that prologue where you're on Mars. Then it flashes back to like 1881, only the flashback to 1865. But 1865 was where the prologue was. You just didn't know that. Yeah. So then when you catch up to it, you're like, wait, because like magic people show up and you're like, I thought that was in the past. It felt like this was centuries ago. And really, no, that was just 10, 12 years ago.
Right? And it was really dragged out. And in the book, I like how it just starts off.
Yeah.
It gets you there in a chapter.
Yeah.
That's why
yeah.
I felt like it should have just like either started when he's there or just like, get rid of the prologue and just, you know, streamline it and narrow it. It was so full of stuff.
Yeah.
And well, some of it's good stuff.
What annoyed me about the prologue was how they're like, we got to make him look like a badass. I'm like, really, you don't really have to. I mean, I'm going to get the picture. You don't have to go out of your way. All the stuff that they added with Bryan Cranston and yeah. like him escaping.
That was fun, though.
It was fun, but we didn't need it.
Well, and you know, some of that stuff's a little convoluted. Some of the dialogue just doesn't hit right. But I do think Lynn Collins' thighs steal the movie. I don't know why that wasn't in the advertising. It was just like,
is it me or does she?
A kids movie.
How old is Taylor Kitschen? Whatever.
Taylor Kitsch?
Yeah. How old is he?
I have no idea.
33.
Okay. How old is she?
About the same, I'm sure.
Okay. She looked a lot older than he did for some reason. That's what I felt like.
Mature thighs.
I guess so.
Jane Fonda thighs.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like more of that would have been good because like your introduction to her is like, Daddy, look, I have a science project. And you're like, what? What is happening with this introduction? Like, you should have, like, introduced her kicking ass, you know? There's so many things that could have been fixed, and there's, like, a great movie sitting in the middle there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I had fun, though. Go see it on the big screen.
I was a little inebriated, so.
Yeah. Me too.
It's not terrible.
Yeah. So it was fun for me.
I just want to say I'd actually rather see Andrew Stanton do animated films from here on out because I didn't like his direction.
Whereas with Brad Bird, I want to see him do another live action.
Well, that's exactly. I mean, that's kind of fair because it was just those. Like, if you think of WALL-E, even if you're not a huge fan of WALL-E, the economy and the opening of WALL-E, the way he gets you into that and the way he visually tells it is perfect. And then you look at John Carter and it's a mess.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did you struggle? It's almost like too slavish to try to fit everything in. But I don't know. Samantha Morton's good too. You didn't even know she was in there.
I did.
Sola.
it was entertaining. So just have a couple beers before you go in.
Yeah, and you're good to go.
Or
yeah.
Expect a really shitty movie.
Yeah,
that works too.
That works as well. So anything else?
I saw Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Go ahead. No, Jeff Who Lives at Home. Okay.
I really liked it. It was really great. Very hopeful. It reminds me of me and you and everyone we know.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Now I've yet to see any of the Mumblecore stuff.
The Duplass brothers aren't necessarily Mumblecore.
But I haven't seen any of that stuff. But the thing that I noticed even in the trailers that makes me very wary is the zooms.
Yeah, it's, they do.
They in love the, their zooms. They
in the look. Beginning, it's annoying.
The unmotivated zooms is
yeah, in
film
the beginning,
school,
I'm like, please stop doing that. But like 20 minutes in, I don't care anymore. Like I'm whatever.
It's good enough to overcome that?
Yeah. Well, because in the beginning, before I'm into the story, like I haven't kind of accepted these characters and decided I'm willing to go along with them yet. So it's very like just stop with the zoom and the stop and then the zoom and then the stop and the, like within a scene like three times. Like, I don't need it just yet. Give me some breathing room before I decide if I like these characters or not.
So how would that stack up against the other stuff? Like what's your favorite? Because I know you love Baghead.
It's not as noticeable. I mean, in Baghead I didn't notice it as much.
No, I'm just saying the film. No, forget the zoom. Just,
okay. They're very different movies. I love Baghead for its like sort of dissection of the whole slasher genre, mm-hmm. the way it takes it apart. And this is just very hopeful. It made me feel really good when I walked out. And walking out, I was in a great mood after this movie.
Okay.
I like Puffy Chair, but I like Baghead and Jeff Who Lives at Home both.
Did you see Cyrus?
I did see Cyrus. Cyrus is okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think this is better than Cyrus.
Oh, okay. I like John C. Reilly and Cyrus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly's been on fire.
My favorite John C. Reilly moment is in, what is it, Dog Ear?
Look at the knives.
He's like, these are my knives.
These are my knives. I watched that like 2 months ago, I want to say, and I seriously replayed that with Amy. I'm like, you got to watch this again. Look at my knives.
Have you guys started watching Steve Brule? Check it out.
Yeah, I've yet to get into that stuff. Really good. No,
I'm not a really big fan.
It's amazing.
I rewatched Cedar Rapids the other day. That's a good one. Yeah. I like that.
Deansy needs details.
is there anything else?
Yeah. You might have saw that I had seen In Time, Redbox.
Oh.
Andrew Niccol. Anybody else see that?
It looks amazing. and it had some cool, ideas. Amazing. I thought it, Deacon. I don't even say really good. Yeah. It's really well photographed.
Well, it's everything's just fine, and I wouldn't say it's even a cool idea. It's like time is money.
Well, no, I mean,
yeah.
There's like two different movies there, and they were both cool movies unto themselves. But
What are you doing?
Well, Adam was looking at the time.
Stop it!
And then I started looking at the time. And
we got all night. We got all night.
We have plenty of time. Yeah, in time.
Yeah, time is money.
And, yeah, the time puns really got old about 20 minutes in.
You know what I hate?
Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, I hate her.
She was fine. I'm
say, what if we have her on eventually?
No, like,
you
I
said
not.
You hated my stupid face.
Now that you.
Her eyes just it's like she's always surprised, and it's like
I felt like watching Gattaca instead.
Really, you didn't see this coming? You didn't see this coming? You're surprised?
Yeah. Ugh.
But it's like the guy. I can't believe you could rip off yourself. You know, it was very interesting that he's like, I'm just gonna. It's so even the let's swim out into the ocean shots. I'm like, Jesus Christ! Like, just throw on Michael Nyman's music and you're set.
I did like certain actors playing like certain parts in that. Like, I really enjoy Alex Pettifer. I was a fan.
He was a good dick.
Yeah, he was a good jerk, and also Galecki, is it?
Johnny.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Pettifer seems like he's probably a dick in real life, so he's probably got that role nailed.
Really?
Well,
don't invite him.
There goes another guest.
Yeah,
it was just
thanks, Brian.
No more guests.
Yeah. So
it's okay. It was entertaining, but then you're like you felt just.
I would never see it again.
Yeah, exactly. And then wouldn't watch it again. I would just watch Gattaca. If you think, hey, let's go watch In Time, just watch Gattaca instead.
Yeah.
And then one thing.
What did you watch? Dude? Tell us again.
I was watching stuff. Okay, I feel.
Is this a new movie or just a DVD?
It's not a new movie. HBO, I watch Game Change.
Ah, fuck that show.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
You should listen to the podcast, dude.
Okay. Well, it's not out yet.
We already had a Brian talk about this movie.
We don't need two Brians to talk about it.
I think he agrees with me. The acting is fucking amazing.
We just said we don't need to talk about it.
No. No.
Yes, no.
Julianne Moore, awesome.
For those of you who think we're treating Brian horribly, Brian is an old friend, and we're allowed to do this. Okay?
It's for his
own
good.
You can't see that, but he had the quote marks up when he said friend.
I did. Certain people in this podcast have threatened to kill Brian and meant it. And by somebody, I mean Kevin.
Yep. Do not stand near balconies with Kevin.
Well, just don't be Brian.
Yeah, don't be Brian and stand near balconies.
Yeah. So
okay, right. Well, what'd you guys say? Did you like it?
Oh, we haven't seen it. Just Brian with an eye talked about it.
Okay.
So,
well, watch it because of the performances, but the movie itself is just fine because, you know, it's recent history. There's nothing new.
I know. It just happened.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, but I remember what happened. I was there.
Right.
Yeah.
But even the behind the scenes stuff, like, literally. But even the behind the scenes stuff where it's like, oh, we're giving you behind the scenes. It's like, well, I just assumed that's what was happening. Like, no shit.
When I saw the ad for the movie, I'm like, I had eyes back then too. I could see what was happening. I'm pretty sure you're not going to tell me anything
mind
blowing.
It just sort of takes a nice highlighter to it. Like a nice, like, here's what you should have been painted. Here's the themes of it. Here's what really was, you know, changed.
I don't have HBO.
Should do?
But
I always thought is for this election, like, let's just not vote a president in for 4 years. See what happens. Like, you know, it can't get any worse. Like, they'll just...
I mean, it could get worse.
Well, and then if we have to send somebody, like, if the president has to do, like, a NATO summit or some sort of United Nations, we have a lottery. And we send somebody, like, just a common American.
I think we should stay away from politics within this podcast.
I agree.
We should.
That's a slippery slope.
I think we should do a system of demerits.
Just... yeah.
I think we should have Hunger Games.
A blind lottery.
Yeah. Yay, Hunger Games!
Just know, Julianne Moore, it's almost a shame that film's not theatrically released because she'd win an Oscar. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I just wanted to argue.
No, I know.
So, should we get into the list? Anybody else see any movies?
A
stream of the week.
Yeah.
Netflix stream of the week, yo.
That's what it should be called. Stream of the week, yo.
They will think you're high.
Yeah. The stream of the week is finally The Wraith is on. It's on Netflix.
I thought of you.
That's funny because I finally have an iPhone now, So I'm actually listening to the podcast. I'm not usually listening, and I just started.
I just don't really listen to you guys ever.
No, because he's
technologically impaired.
Because
so.
I needed on the phone to be in the car to listen. Anyways, I just literally on the way over was listening to the ghost one where you were talking about it.
That's
like 5 minutes
weird.
Ago.
Yeah.
Which is what, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Wraith guy.
So I know all about the Wraith.
Charlie Sheen. Nick Cassavetes acting.
What?
He's a jerk. And it's funny. What's funny is rewatching. I just rewatched it. Is that his gang is so like crazy because he's like got like a punk guy and then he's got like a tweaker and then he's got like this like Asian like kung fu fight. So it's like
it's an equal opportunity.
It's
gang.
a multicultural type of. And then he's got Ron Howard, which is a nerd. It's like what kind of gang would let a nerd in?
Wait, Ron Howard?
Clint Howard.
I'm Clint Howard.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I was going to. Clint Howard's
Howard.
A nerd too.
I could see a Howard in it, but not
Clint,
Ron.
Clint Howard. But anyway, check it out.
But speaking of the old list, I mean, it's been a struggle to not. To yelling at the car when I'm listening to you guys, some of the things you guys skip over. I just want to say, I'm not going to go through it too much.
Oh, here we go.
Martial arts. Somebody should have mentioned the Legend of Flying Guillotine or Master of Flying Guillotine. And Legend of Drunken Master 2. Those two should have been on that list.
It was all about the 80s, dude. And Gymkata.
No. Flying Guillotine has like the what is it? The Street Fighter guy with his arm stretch out?
The Flying Guillotine?
Yeah, that's the Master of Flying Guillotine.
Yeah, no, but what's the guy's name? Jeez. It's badass. He's just like, his arms are stretching out, and he has a guillotine he just throws and just rips your head off. It's awesome. And the guy with one arm that
spoiler.
No, and it's also got like the blood sport scene where it's like each there's a whole
no,
10
wait,
minute.
Wait. I'm gonna shut you up there.
No, it's got like 10.
Don't you ever say blood sport scene unless it's blood sport.
No, I agree with blood sport being the best, but it's definitely blood sport is influenced by this where it has like the 15 minute tournament scene of just different guys with different styles taking turns kicking the shit out of each other.
Blood sport isn't influenced by anything. Blood sport is like Chuck Norris, right? They time traveled and copied off Bloodsport.
Okay, just I wish somebody had mentioned those. That's all.
So, all right, let's get to the list because fucking Brian's gonna cry if he doesn't has his top five. All right, who wants to start first?
This. Not it.
All right, so Brian, you can start first.
That means I'm second.
I'll start. It's fantasy films, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, we changed the topic.
I know. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, now we're doing war movies set in the 1800s.
Right,
yeah.
make a list. Yeah. I could do that.
So, you're number five.
Wait, are you gonna, anybody have trouble making my list?
No, I didn't.
No.
That was pretty, yeah, pretty easy.
I think you were the only one.
Because you know what? Because you haven't done this as much as we have, so you start like filtering things out that are going to be in different lists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So your head starts going, oh, you know, I don't want to use that. Well, so sometimes, yeah, we miss things, but because they might be in another list. So Flying Guillotine might be in a craziest fight ever. So this is the thing that there's a lot of things that you might yell at the I guess podcast.
Well, because I know you guys, I'm sitting there like fucking Ricardo.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things
like,
that we
like
don't mention.
You guys totally fucked up, and you said that they got Wu Ping from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon for The Matrix, and The Matrix was 99, Crouching Tiger was 2000. What? I should have been here to tell you that.
I think you're wrong.
No.
All right. I think you're right. Maybe. All right.
I'm just going by what the internet told me.
The internet. But with this fantasy list,
the internet.
I think the only thing it's like what counts as fantasy was the thing. Like I'm sure everybody's gonna have something different.
Pretty broad topic.
The definition of fantasy.
What's your definition of
Ricardo's
fantasy?
If Ricardo wishes he was there.
No. Basically, it's something.
The Wraith.
It's that is fiction, dude.
It's fiction. It's fiction.
But it's not fantasy, dude. No, it's basically a fiction that is dealing with magic and or supernatural. But everything falls into that, really.
Yeah.
Anything that's not in the real world is fantasy, really.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's pretty open.
Well, just
vague.
when I was looking at again, I'm sure you guys looked at other lists that were out there. Like people had superhero films on there, and I'm like,
that's fantasy, though.
Yeah, but I'm like, fuck that. That doesn't count.
It does count. Sure. But we're having a superhero list later on, so
yeah.
It won't be in this list.
Okay, number five. This will be playing after it comes out, but I figured in honor of it. And
so
also
you haven't fucking seen it, dude.
No, I haven't seen it. No, I've seen this. I'm saying in honor of the film that's coming out Friday, The Hunger Games, number five from 1998, Pleasantville.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
not just because Hunger Games is coming out, but I fucking love that movie.
So by the time this airs, it'll have already...
We have all seen Hunger Games by the time you're listening to this.
Wait, and why is that in honor of Hunger Games?
Because it's the same director.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah.
Same writer, director.
There we go. What, see, you should say this stuff because some people that listen to the podcast don't know this.
I was getting to that.
Well, it's the thing where people that...
Jenny's slow burn
build up. Totally on board with shitting on Brian.
it doesn't take much. I've been in places where suddenly the person I never met shows up and they're just like...
What? Oh, hey, this fucking guy.
Fuck this guy. hey, let's gang up on this guy. That's happened. The words have been spoken.
Everybody gang up on Brian, yeah.
So but,
okay, cool.
So for all the people that are, you know, don't know about Hunger Games and they're just thinking, oh, another Twilight, and they're shitting on it, and if you're trying to defend the books, fine, they're good, but what you really should be pointing out is it's Gary Ross writing and directing it, and he's done Seabiscuit, which is pretty damn good. He wrote Big,
yeah.
Okay, and his best movie, I think, is Pleasantville.
I'd say Seabiscuit.
But no, I'd say Pleasantville.
I like Seabiscuit.
Like Pleasantville. I think.
Pleasantville is fantastic. The score is amazing.
It doesn't have Chris Cooper in it.
Joan Allen. This has Joan Allen masturbating and causing a tree to catch fire.
Yeah.
Think about
that. All Seabiscuit's got is a horse.
Yeah. Ugh, gross. Horses.
No, it's great. It's got so many. It's got some subtle special effects because pretty much every shot has a special effects with the whole color black and white stuff. I think it got like 3 Oscar nominations. The score is fantastic. It's back.
It's got Paul Walker.
Walker. Yeah. No, it's pre big fame. Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. And you know the fantasy element. If you haven't seen it, there's the Leave It to Beaver type show, Pleasantville, and the brother and sister get sucked into the world. But they bring their 90s sensibility there, and everything starts turning color, and it's got great messages. It's a little parable thing. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Daniels is awesome.
Jeff Daniels, Joan Allen.
Yeah.
It's J.T. Walsh's last movie. He's fantastic. Yeah. It's got a lot of little homages to other films in there, too.
Is William H. Macy in it, too?
William H. Macy? Yeah. There you go.
Honey,
I think it's pronounced Mossy.
Yeah.
Mossy.
It's been so long since I've seen
that. Like that weed you've been smoking all
it.
Night before we recorded this? Mossy?
Mossy.
Why are you spreading rumors? Like, everyone's going
to think it's Mossy. And to me, the best thing about...
We all know you're sober. It's just fun to make you crazy.
Well, you know, but one of the best things I think about... You guys aren't like this when I'm not here.
What?
No, one of the best things is...
Let me talk.
I remember... I must be heard. No, I remember when this came out, I was like, that looks stupid. It looked like another one of those, like, Mom and Dad Save the World or something.
Hey, I love Mom and Dad Save the World.
That's number 5 on my list. No,
because that's science fiction.
Oh, okay. but it, you know, it wasn't advertised well, and then, you know... Because it seemed gimmicky, and then when you see it, you're like, this is so much more, you know? It even extended to the awesome Fiona Apple song cover of the Beatles with Paul Thomas Anderson directing the video, which is a fantastic video. Mm. Watch that video if you haven't seen it. In fact, it's awesome. One of the few covers that's better than the original song.
All right.
What song is that?
Across the Universe. Across the
Universe. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I don't know that I've heard that version.
It's really good.
Just
I bet it's good.
YouTube the video. It's fantastic. Yeah. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Cool, cool.
For life.
You mean Paul W. Anderson? Is that who you're a fan of?
All right. So my number 5, I can't remember if anyone else has done this, and I feel terrible because I really
shitty
memory.
I think we should just
show
this one out. It doesn't matter anymore. Who cares if we repeat? That's my motto. I'm like, I don't care if someone else picked it. If I like it,
exactly.
I'm putting it on my goddamn list.
All right. So,
that's exactly how I said it.
This is fantasy. Okay. I have to convince myself. So my number 5 is Highlander.
Nice.
That's my number 5. I could watch Highlander. Oh, what?
No.
Already?
No, I was about to sing. I was going to sing.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Don't do that.
Don't enjoy that.
Don't
you stop me.
Sing.
This isn't the music podcast.
Yeah. No. Has anyone done Highlander before?
I don't know.
I feel
like
we mentioned it for
some
reason.
Yeah, mentioned it.
It was on my honorable mention today,
okay.
But not. We never mentioned it before.
Yeah, I love Highlander. I hadn't watched it in the longest time, and then I rewatched it like a month ago or something, and it's just still fucking fantastic. everything. I love it. I want a remake of Highlander. I'm not going to lie.
What?
Justin Lin was supposed to do the remake of Highlander.
Yeah, I feel like I remember
who?
Hearing...
Justin Lin? Fast and the Furious.
Oh.
But now he's doing a Terminator, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's a cool movie. I love it.
Unless you have him again, what's the point? Come on.
I mean, you could have him...
play the Connery part.
Yeah, exactly.
Connery's not going to come back. So.
Yeah.
And what's the bad guy?
McCloud?
Tom Clancy? Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
No, I love
the
Highlander.
Kurgan.
I enjoy the sequel. I guiltily, it has nothing to do with anything, and I still like that sequel for some reason.
We had this conversation when you were asking me about this list, where the original and the third movie count as fantasy, but the sequel is sci-fi.
Mario Van Peebles? Mario Van Peebles?
Yeah.
One?
Mario Van Peebles 1 counts as fantasy, but the sequel counts as sci-fi because you're like, fuck the whole origin story. We're going to make them aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah. You know what movie I like Lambert in? Is have you guys
Everything?
Seen, have you guys seen Greystone?
I have not. The
Legend of Tarzan. I've not seen Greystone.
It's good.
What's the
he's all
that's by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the
John Carter.
Sci-fi prison movie with Jeffrey Combs with him. The movie's awesome.
Trespass?
No.
What are you talking about? No. Come on, Kevin.
The sci-fi prison movie, Christopher Lambert, Fortress?
Fortress.
Yes, Fortress.
Yes, with some fucked up sex scenes.
Yeah.
That movie's awesome.
That's a cool movie. So my number five is 1992's Army of Darkness. First two, horror movies. Third, fantasy. And I dug the whole... There was time travel.
Yeah,
which I love. And
who doesn't love time travel? Ricardo?
Some people don't like time travel.
Come on, you know
we don't allow them in our friend group.
Yeah,
you know I do.
That's our first question. We go. Do you like time travel?
What are your thoughts on time travel?
I mean, Bruce Campbell. That's all you need to know. And good Sam Raimi.
I saw a picture online that was Bruce Campbell in a kilt holding the Highlander sword, and it was fucking badass. It was like so much awesome in one picture. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Now I'm not going to begrudge you putting, I love that movie, obviously. But
you should thank him for not begrudging you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you,
Brian. You should be happy. You should thank me later.
In a manner you see fit.
No, it's just one of those where
I think he just propositioned you.
It's one of those where, like, you know, we said with this category where when I think Army of Darkness, yes, it's fantasy, but that's not what I think of first. I don't think of it as fantasy. I don't know. It's just not the first thing that pops in my
head.
That's
the first thing I think about.
Yeah, that's what
else would it be?
Of.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just if
it's not horror.
I know. I just
lump it in with horror, though, because the trilogy is so slapsticky horror to me.
Yeah. So, you know. Fucking awesome movie. I just, you know, didn't fit the category.
A lot of horror and
it
fantasy.
It flirts with
the
No, but I mean, it's just like any of the lists you guys do where you're like, oh, what first came to your mind, and that's really what you just grab onto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is my number five, Kevin. Yes.
Okay. My number five is from 1985, and it's The Purple Rose of Cairo.
Magical realism.
Yeah. Again, same thing.
Yes, well, this is a movie that I think of, Brian, when I think of fantasy, because I love movies, and
unlike you, Brian.
You brought on the Brian that hates movies.
Just like Cecilia, I would love if a woman came out of the screen and wanted to hang out with me and fell in love with me.
Jeff Daniels.
So this is your fantasy.
Yeah, Jeff Daniels.
This is fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I put it on here.
Well, no, I think, again, he was going sexual with it. Like, it's your sexual.
You're going to have Ghostbusters, aren't you? And you're going to have the whole Dan Aykroyd
Don't spoil
dream.
People's lists, Brian.
But, yeah, I love this movie. Jeff Daniels is great as Tom Baxter. He just plays that wide-eyed idealist poet romantic so well. And I love the scene when he does leave and they keep cutting back to the people who are still on the screen and they're sitting around playing cards and drinking and it's talking like, about how they're the main character and just their interactions with the crowd and then with each other is
it's like it's the movie never stops.
Exactly.
Because, you know, my grandma used to tell me the old days they would just run it in a loop, really. So people would show up late all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be like, oh, whatever, we'll catch the end of the movie and they'd let you stay and you watch the beginning. You should tell the plot of that one, though. I don't think everybody knows that one.
So the plot is, in 1930s New Jersey, a movie character walks off the screen and into the real world.
Where's that rank with you for Woody Allen movies?
Well, I mean, I love it.
What about when we do our Woody Allen?
Yeah, when we do our Woody Allen list, maybe I'll
don't be jumping the gun on other lists, Brian.
Respect the list.
But I mean, I love
living the now, Wayne.
Hey, time travel.
That's what we should.
But Brian, if you'd like to know, I love Annie Hall, and Crimes and Misdemeanors is just it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
This movie, I love the magical realism element. And Jeff Daniels, again, is fantastic.
So it's Midnight in Paris fantasy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magical realism.
It's no time travel. Okay. It's fantasy.
Okay. I'm following okay. I'm learning.
My turn. All right. Number five.
Me learn good.
I don't think I'm going to leave the 80s with my list today.
What year did you say?
The 80s. This is 1984. And that would be the Neverending
Story. Son of a bitch.
Yep. My number four.
Number four. You can't not put that on there. Come on.
As soon as we said fantasy, this is a Neverending Story. Finally, I can put it on a list.
Another great song.
Don't sing it.
The Neverending Story.
Brian, don't sing it. All your songs sound the same, dude.
You're off key. Yeah, because you have one key.
Highlander?
It's called Shitty.
Never knew.
It's called the S key.
The key of Shitty. Brian can hit the brown note.
Back when Wolfgang Peterson was amazing.
Back when Wolfgang Peterson liked to torture children.
Yeah.
What is... Because I rewatched it for this.
Oh, yeah. I thought about showing my kids. I'm like, shit. Not on the horse.
They fucking torture children.
Yeah.
Well, no, but not just the audience. Like, the kid who plays Atreyu is like, all right, throw more mud at him. Yeah. Put him up in that tree. Blow him out of the tree. Throw rocks at him. Turn on the high-speed fans. Blow him across the room. Just keep fucking with this kid. He just hooks up with so much shit. I swear he just wanted to torture kids.
I think somebody was saying the other day, they confused how come there aren't more rappers that took their name from this film. It's just full of...
Atreyu, Rockbiter.
Rockbiter. You know? Like,
Childlike Empress, that could be a band.
Bastion.
It's a very German. Lots of it's very German.
Artek. I'm gonna cry.
I felt the tears wearing up whenever we watched it. I'm like, God damn. But at the same time, I love it. It's on this list, but still.
And it's not just a childhood thing. That movie is awesome. Come on.
Did you watch it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still love it, but I feel like it's 80% nostalgia because I'm like, it's a lot quicker than I remember it being. This isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it felt like it was a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, I felt like it took forever.
Well, why you?
I took the title literal. I was like, this must be a long movie. It says so right there.
Yeah, and then like I watched it, I'm like, holy shit, we're already to the fucking swamps of sadness.
There's already nothing. It's nothing already.
The nothingness.
There's some titties in that movie too.
What? Are you talking about the Oracle?
Yeah, the Oracle titties.
Really? You had to go there?
Well, I've been hearing this guy talk about how he's the Mr. Skin, the walking Mr.
Hey,
Skin. I'm like, no. I will fight you.
This does not count. That's not a person. No. It's not a person.
When you're six.
It's not a person.
No, it's not.
Oh, really?
Wow. You just took
you
it to
take
a
what
weird,
you can get.
Bang,
you
bang,
just
huh?
took it to a really weird
interesting.
Place. Interesting. Really, really, you made it awkward. I'm going to look over here.
I don't know if I'd want to save that in my spank bank ever.
Mm. I know. You just took it to a weird place.
Come on, yeah, you knew when you were like young and you saw that, you're like,
stop digging that
what?
Hole. Just
it
stop
felt
digging
wrong.
That
it
hole.
Felt like I shouldn't
you
be seeing...
felt wrong.
I didn't notice that they had nipples until I watched it yesterday. So, no.
It's ingrained. I know the curvature. I'm very aware.
Oh, wow. just see you on your TV with the compass, like mapping the circumference of these breasts.
He's got like a tracing paper out and he's tracing them and then he posts them as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you for
you're
sullying
you're welcome.
The Neverending Story for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, next time I watch Neverending Story, I'm just going to picture Brian, 6-year-old Brian, going, yeah.
Well, rewind that tape.
Is anybody familiar with the sequels?
Okay.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I liked the second one.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was...
The third one, even as a kid, I was like, the third one looked retarded.
The second one's got like freakier character design, right? It's got just some weird shit going on.
It's got a lot of weird shit going on. Well, I mean, the problem with the first one, though, rewatching it, it's like, all their budget, you can see it.
That one scene.
But you can't see it. Because, like, the scene where they're all gathering on top of the ivory tower and there's, like, 12 people. It's just like, oh, I see where your budget
just
went.
Say my name.
Wait. Oh, and I just now realized what he yells.
Oh, God, I forget.
Oh, Moonchild?
Moonchild. Yeah. I was like, that's his fucking mom's name? But that's
I never got it. I was just like, just say something
with the movie. I'm like, all right, so that dad played by Gerald McRaney was married to someone named Moonchild.
Yeah.
Simon with the mustache from Simon and Simon was married to someone named... No, I don't buy that one.
Yeah.
But other than that...
Fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. It's a great movie.
What was your number four?
Yeah, it was my number four.
Okay, me too.
Not on my list.
He doesn't care.
I didn't think it would be on your list.
Because you had a sad childhood.
It's not on my list either, but I just kind of figured other people are going to put it on the list.
And also, I was never a big fan of this movie. It just, like, during the 80s, it was Michelle all about... It was all about...
So I had to like it.
It was all about martial arts films from the 80s. Mostly Van Damme.
Think you're better than me?
I'm just saying. I introduced you to Van Damme, so shut the hell up.
You didn't introduce me to Van Damme. You introduced Brandon to Van Damme. I'm the one that...
You hadn't seen Bloodsport.
I grew up on Bloodsport. Don't even. That was Brandon. You're mixing us up.
Maybe. All right. Yes. So what's your number four? And this time...
That was his number four.
Oh, okay.
Never ending story. Four. So moving on.
Lose a turn.
No whammy.
All right. So my number four, I had to do it because I'm a huge...
You didn't introduce me to Bloodsport.
Okay, let it go.
I'm
let
a
it
huge,
go.
I can't let such things go.
I'm talking over you now. I'm a huge Potter geek, and so I had to put a Potter movie on there.
Oh, no, no.
I had
to. Don't do that.
I don't care. Okay. I love Harry Potter. Okay. I love everything about Harry Potter, so I had to do a Harry Potter movie.
What if she puts the one Harry Potter that you like?
That's fine, but it's still... Okay, go. Better be the right one.
Whoa.
Wow.
I put Prisoner of Azkaban. That's my favorite one out of all of them.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Are you going to stop pouting now?
That's okay, then.
He's not. He's just going to pout less.
Just less.
So tell us about... read the synopsis to that. Why don't you read the synopsis?
Okay.
We've been forgetting to do that in the previous episodes. Yeah.
Time travel. Of course.
Yeah.
It all comes back to time travel.
Jenny.
Right.
To ignore him. So. Just read the synopsis.
It's Harry's third year at Hogwarts. Not only does he have the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, but there's also trouble brewing. Convicted murderer Sirius Black has escaped the wizard's prison and is coming after Harry. So this is the episode
Alfonso Cuarón
that we meet. What?
What
the director
that
the
we
director.
Meet? Oh, okay. That we meet Sirius Black, and he's my favorite character. So automatically, it's my favorite episode.
It's Gary Oldman.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, that's exactly.
Cast. Gary Oldman could have played Snape, and that would have been my favorite.
But
character.
Cuarón cast.
I mean,
pretty much some of the best characters.
I mean, Alan Rickman's fantastic, though. Yeah.
He got to cast Gary Oldman. He got to put David Thewlis in there. He got to put what's the rat guy?
Oh, Peter
Timothy Spall. He got to put them in. Like, that's all Cuarón came in. Is like, I'm going to cast the really cool guys that you love.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was much him as it was a studio. That was pretty much a studio-run movie. And they're like, okay, we'll let you do that, sir.
Okay. So you think Chris Columbus decided Gary Oldman over Alfonso Cuarón? Stick to that theory.
He said the studio.
Yeah. Christopher Columbus is the producer on all of them.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that studio.
He's not the studio.
He's the... Never mind.
Just stop talking.
Anyway. I'll
let Jenny talk about her pick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you can say... What do you have to say?
No, I love the books. I love Harry Potter books. The movies are just so flawed, and they'll never be what the books are.
It doesn't... I mean, that's the thing with... I'm sorry, but you can say that about everything. I mean, to be honest, yes.
Some of them are downright bad movies.
This isn't a bad movie.
But this one's awesome, yes.
The beginning ones, the movies are okay. I mean, when they came out, I was young enough to like them, and I hadn't read the books because I don't read.
When's the last time you watched the first two?
It's been a while because I don't watch them.
They're pretty terrible. They're pretty hard.
I don't watch them.
Pretty
but
hard to sit through.
I also didn't read those books because I don't read. The only books I read was five,
you
six,
know
and
how
seven.
To read. You just choose.
So I don't know how to read.
I followed. Keep going.
Harry Potter. 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 So I only read like 5, 6, and 7, and so this one was good. I liked it. I hadn't read the book for this one, but I'm a huge Potter geek, and I love every Harry Potter movie pretty much. But the last ones were my favorite, obviously. But this one surpasses them all. And I had to include a Harry Potter movie because...
Oh, definitely.
I had to.
I never read the books. I just saw the movies. And, I mean, I saw the first one, and then, I mean, I don't remember seeing the first one or the second one. I know I did see them. But after that, it was just kind of like they're entertaining enough for me to see them. And if they weren't entertaining enough, I wouldn't have seen them. And I wouldn't have spent the fucking time.
I'd also say... Everybody kept saying ever since the third one, they got darker and darker and darker. And I feel like the third one's still the darkest. You're trying to tell me that just because more people died, they're darker. Go back and watch the third one. It has some of the more, you know, scary, dark scenes in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And originally Spielberg was going to do it, and he was going to cast Haley Joel Osment in it.
I'm glad that didn't happen.
And then she said it had to be, I guess she had some say, and she said it has to be British cast. Good. So, anyway, good. That's your number four.
That's my number four.
Thank you for including the best one.
You're welcome. It was actually kind of hard for me to pick. I'm not going to lie to you, but the scene where Sirius Black meets Harry Potter for the first time is just one of my favorite scenes all the Harry Potter movies.
That like pulled Gary Oldman out of he was like, have you guys heard that story about Gary Oldman? Because when he was doing Contender, there was some sort of because he's kind of Republican, so he was doing interviews and he would say things that were, you know, pro this, and he said something kind of negative towards Spielberg, and people think that he didn't get cast in a lot of stuff for a long time because Spielberg sort of was, you know, putting, don't put him in stuff, and that's why he showed up in a lot of shitty movies or nothing for a long time, and it was Quaron and, you know, Harry Potter and Batman that brought him back, and now you know mm-hmm. Oscar nomination. But there was a good period there where he was almost bankrupt.
Yeah.
Well, he was amazing.
When you heard he was in that, you're like, where was Gary? Where's he been? And you see the posters with him, and it was really badass, the hologram thing. So.
Yeah, I love him.
So my number four is from 1977. And I did it. Star Wars. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, for me, the first thing I think about is fantasy. And then the sequels I think of as sci-fi.
Really?
Yeah. Because it really, you think about, there's creatures. There's magic. The Force is kind of like magic.
See, the problem with that, though, for me is...
it's a sci-fi fantasy.
I can have... Because the Force is a religion, kind of like magic. So could I have The Last Temptation of Christ on here?
Yeah.
No, not
yeah.
that one. Well, I guess... Yeah.
When I don't want to alienate any religious people that listen to this podcast.
I will.
But when I talk about the Bible, I'm like, what's up with the Bible magic? You know? Why isn't Bible magic
Jesus
going on still?
Magic.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do, it's kind of like a religion, the forces, but I think of it as fantasy. There's a lot of creatures.
Synopsis, please.
For those
I'm unfamiliar those
people,
with this film.
For those people who have been living under
in
a rock.
Galaxy far, far.
A spirited farm boy, Luke Skywalker, joins rebel forces to save the princess from the evil Darth Vader and the galaxy from the Empire's planet-destroying Death Star.
Oh, I think I've seen this one.
Yeah. It's very much, I think, and even the posters were very much like a Conan movie poster. Mm-hmm. And it was very much like, instead of swords.
Or what's the, Franzetta, what's the guy that did all the book covers?
The guy that did all the book
covers? He just died, right? Didn't he just pass away?
Like, for, you what know, you the inspired that. Like, yeah. Yeah. John Carter. Because yeah. that's the thing, is I was thinking John Carter's kind of fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it's like you just whenever it's in space, you go sci-fi first. You know, I don't know.
Well, see, the thing mm-hmm. was for me that I thought the sequels at sci-fi because it was more like more ships and more like bases. But this one was more like it started off in a desert planet. Like
again, it's just like what I think of first, and you know, again, it is sci-fi fantasy though.
Yes. Yeah. Well, sci-fi.
It's Star Wars.
They don't really explain how gravity works
as
on the
sci-fi.
Ships.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Like, why is there artificial gravity on this?
Would you say sci-fi?
I would classify all three of them as sci-fi.
To explain it
I'm not going
to
lie to you.
He's making up stuff over here.
I mean, I see where you're putting that, but yeah. I would put it as sci-fi.
All I'm saying is the first shot of the movie is spaceships.
That's true.
Yeah.
The prequels are more science-y. Because you explain the force.
Yeah. I mean, Darth Vader in general is really science-y. Robots are science-y, not fantasy. So.
Fuck science.
I mean, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, I can see where you're coming from.
You guys see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I saw it appear on other lists, and I was like, yeah, I see that. But I'm interested.
I feel like
I
put it on like three already. I feel like I put the same
I've
one.
Used it. I don't think I've used it.
I don't think you've used it either. I've used Empire at least twice, I think.
As you should.
Well, anyway, that's my number four.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, out of any of them, that would be the most fantasy for sure.
And I was trying to save the other two for a different list, so.
Okay. You mean Phantom Menace?
Best Ewoks.
Yeah.
My number four was The Never Ending Story, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
You lose another turn.
All right. My number four is from 1988, and it is Willow.
Mm. Honorable mention.
So, in making this list, I rewatched a bunch of movies.
Does that one? I don't think that one holds up that well.
You rewatched that one? I just rewatched that and Legend. Fuck Legend. Willow's way better than Legend as far as movies that hold up from the 80s.
That's because Val Kilmer.
I haven't rewatched
Jim Morrison. It is, if anything, all because of Val Kilmer.
I like Matt Warwick Modigan. Davis.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah. Matt Modigan. no, the whole Gene Marsh is awesome. The whole Kevin Pollak and Rick Overton.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. It's fun. It's funny. I'd take it over a trip to the fucking Shire any time of the week.
We'll get into that later. We will get into this later.
Brian, you're peeking, dude. Don't fucking yell.
No yelling.
I feel like the only reason I'm here. I feel like the only reason I'm here this week is to be the voice of reason when we get to that later. Anyways,
we will shit
I'm
on your point.
I'm pretty sure there will be somebody else. Yeah. On your
you're semi.
Kevin is in the middle. I'm a Lord of the Rings hater.
Let's save it.
Fist bump.
Save it.
Stop okay, fist pumping.
But definitely, will, I will say, even if I don't love Willow and I think it doesn't hold up as great, it definitely fits fantasy better than fucking Star Wars.
Well, now you're just mad.
And it's got that guy in it that is in that show.
Have you guys seen Life Too Short?
I haven't. I want to.
It's amazing.
I saw the clip with Liam Neeson. Yeah. Liam Neeson's doing so the stand-up.
He goes, I've got AIDS.
He's all, knock, knock, knock. He's all, yes, sir. He's all, I've got full-blown AIDS. It's the Johnny Depp episode is one of the best writing on TV I've seen. And Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant write the show.
What does it air on? Is it BBC?
HBO.
Okay.
HBO.
I will say I followed Warwick Davis's career because of Willow. I've been like, yeah, he's Leprechaun. He's fucking in Harry Potter.
He's in Star Wars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
not the first one.
The Return third
Jedi.
One.
He's in Jedi.
Yeah, he's
in Jedi.
He's in all the Leprechaun movies.
I was talking about Star Wars.
He
said Leprechaun.
I just went into the Leprechaun.
Yeah.
I'm the Leprechaun. Yeah.
I was surprised because I was looking at Warwick Davis and I'm like, he literally was in Leprechaun in the Hood with Ice-T.
Yeah. I need to share an embarrassing story. When my sister was having a grown up party, and I was
what does that mean?
The annoying little brother. She had all the cool kids over.
I think there was alcohol and possibly drugs.
I got really messed up, and I was underneath the pool table for 2 hours, screaming to her friends, "I'm the Leprechaun!" it was a fun night. Her big sisters don't appreciate that though. Just
no.
So you know.
Yeah,
he was in Harry Potter.
Nobody
too.
Does.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So 42 seconds ago.
Anyway.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Ryan, when we get to the fucking
Time
Lord of the Rings,
travel.
You're going to die,
yeah.
Dude.
Ryan. No. So, Willow, it's... Again,
it's Ron Howard, too.
Yeah, it's Ron Howard. The big thing with fantasy is they like to do a lot of... Fantasy likes to take from the Bible a lot. Like, it's got, like, Moses and Jesus and all
No
that.
Way.
I know, it's crazy. let's see. Willow, plot summary. Reluctant dwarf must play a critical role in protecting a special baby from an evil queen. That's it. It's Willow. Rewatching it, it's still funny to me that Warwick Davis plays the title character and he gets third billing.
Oh yeah.
It's Val Kilmer, Joanne Whaley, Warwick Davis.
Wow.
It is freaky seeing little people carry around big babies.
Little People or what? Little People Big World? Is that show?
Yeah.
Little People Big
Babies.
Like
half that movie is him holding a big baby and you're just like, he is not qualified.
Don't alienate the little people audience that we have for this podcast.
Fucking bastard.
We're trying to get that new show as a sponsor now.
I know.
I would really like to have Warwick Davis on as a guest.
Oh, that'd be so amazing.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, I watched this and I watched Legend back to back. And I'm sorry, but Legend, I like a third of the movie Legend.
Yeah.
Legend suffers from a lot of problems Ridley Scott films have. It's just more visual, less cohesiveness, and if you split them all in the four acts, the third act always suffers.
Well, you suffer. So give us your number.
Actually, the third act of Legend is the best part.
But I'm saying if you split in the four.
Oh.
So that, like, the pre-finale.
Yes.
Stuff.
So you're making movies into four acts? Is that how you fucking write, dude?
I like the five.
Does not have to be a three
structure.
Act.
Yeah.
I like Shakespeare.
I'm saying
if
forget acts. If you split it into 25%, 25%, 25%, every Ridley Scott film suffers from that. Even the best ones. Even like 2 seconds of Alien has a little bit of like no.
Don't blaspheme.
I know, but that's
you had 10 points. I gave you 10 invincible points, and I deduct one for each idiotic thing you say, and you're already at 2, dude.
But again, Legend, I mean, I'm
just
sure
because
visually
you mentioned
it still holds up. Visually, it's just gorgeous.
Visually, it looks all right, but yeah. I mean...
Which score did you see it with?
I watched both, actually, because I had to be like, which one? Because I grew up with the Tangerine Dream one, uh-huh. the hour and a half long version, and watching the 2-hour version, I kind of understand why the studio took away his movie. I'm sorry, Ridley Scott, if you're listening to this. We might not get him as a guest now.
I know.
Great. But I mean,
fuck you.
Wait, was that at me or was that at Ridley Scott or just in general?
Oh, everything.
She so badly needs Prometheus to be amazing that she can't hear anything otherwise.
I really Prometheus need it looks to be amazing. Good.
It does, but again,
I need it to be really good.
Oh, all his films look amazing. It's just he needs to follow through.
Okay. Well, never mind. Legend Willow number 4.
Willow. Yeah.
Brian, what's your number 3?
We're on the 3.
Hurry up.
1989, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
God
damn it! That's my number 2.
As it should be. It's amazing. This film got buried. I don't know if people know. Like it still managed like 4 Oscar nominations.
My dad doesn't remember taking me to see it. He took me to see it. He doesn't remember.
I have the hardest time when you know you're hunting for it when it was VHS and you're trying to ask for it. They're just like, look at you. What the fuck are you talking about? And it's so weird to me that it still managed these Oscar nominations, but the film got buried because the studio. I mean, just like all of Terry Gilliam films, he had troubles making it. A lot of over budget problems, and at the same time, the studio they changed over. It got sold or something when he was making it. So as typical Hollywood, they don't want the old regime having a good product, so they buried it. Mm-hmm. And yet it's this fucking amazing film. I think it has some of my favorite Monty Python people performances. Eric Idle, I think it's probably his best movie. As Bertold. I mean, this film, the special effects in this film are ridiculous. It's 1989, and you have like shots of he's the fastest man alive. He runs and catches a bullet, you know? It's fantastic. And you have the strong guy.
Strongest man. You got the guy with the amazing hearing.
Hearing, and he can shoot halfway across the world, yeah. Right?
And then the guy who can little guy who has like, the amazing lung capacity.
Yes. Terry Gilliam loves little people. Little people in fantasy films a lot, right?
And then it's got a lot of
It's PG.
Cameos.
It's PG, yet there's Uma Thurman nipple.
Yep.
So sure anybody is. Think PG?
Because well, it's arty.
Yeah.
It's tasteful because they're recreating the Venus de Milo.
Yeah.
Well, not the Venus de Milo.
This film just
Venus.
Has everything. It goes to the moon. They go to the moon.
That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
When they're escaping. And they're using the lock of hair. Like, where did you get the rest of this hair? It's like, I cut it from the top.
Yeah.
Didn't I think of that, Baron? Yeah.
John Neville, Sarah Pauly, really young. She was like 9.
Reed.
Oliver Reed. When he's crushing the diamond.
Yeah, when he's crushing the diamond, it's great.
Since this was your pick, you give the synopsis of this movie.
Oh, I don't have it. I don't even know because I don't know the Munchausen. I don't know the original fairy, like whatever that story is. Because the film sort of has it's in the middle of a war between the Sultan.
It's like the Turks.
Turks, yeah.
I don't know who they're fighting though. And I can't tell what.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out because even like Price.
Jonathan Price.
His like accent would.
It's almost French,
right? It was almost French.
Yeah.
But they didn't seem like...
Yeah, he fires a cannonball, rides it to the enemy's side, yes. And then gets on the... Like, switches cannonball.
Well, actually, according to him, it was a mortar shell that he was hanging on to, and then he took a cannonball
right.
back.
I mean, that's what's great, too.
When he specifically stops to specify.
Yeah. He's like, no, I didn't take a cannonball. It was actually, I was hanging on to a mortar shell, and then I took a cannonball back.
For the plot, it opens, and there's this battle going on, and they're putting on a play.
And it's Wednesday.
They're putting on this play, and it's the Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and then the real Munchausen, really old and decrepit, shows up and is like, that's not how it happened, and he, you know, and then that's the great framing device of the reality and then jumping into the fantasy.
That's something else that Gilliam likes to do a lot, is do that whole play within the movie. He likes stages a lot.
He does like stages.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And then, you know, he like, as he adventures more, he gets younger and just... So many, like when they get out of the whale they land in the water and all their feet are because they flipped upside down. They went through the mm-hmm. middle of the
earth. Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And everybody's feet are like they're upside down, yes. But they don't realize it. Oh, it's just visually fantastic. I it's one of my favorites of his. I just barely put it up here above his other great fantasy film. But in case somebody has it, I won't say anything.
I actually haven't seen this one, and it surprises me that I haven't because I'm a super huge Monty Python fan.
But that's my point. Is it's like I don't know why. I don't know why I saw it. I think the only reason I saw it was like on Encore, and the one scene I saw was the bullet scene. I was like, what the fuck is this? I have to watch this.
There was
a
cartoon also. That's I knew about it. I mean, that's I think why my dad doesn't remember taking me to see it because there was a cartoon that they would show in Nickelodeon. It's like a Canadian cartoon. It was Baron Munchausen. I'm like, I want to see this movie, and so I had made my dad take me, and he blocked. He's convinced that this never happened. Like, you took me to see this fucking movie.
Look for it. It's
yeah, it's for great. Sure. That's I mean, I'm a huge Monty Python fan.
Oh,
yeah.
And death. Terrified.
Death, yes.
Yeah, lots of deaths.
So, no, well, no, he but has, death, the character.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that, I mean, I keep hearing it's like his unofficial trilogy. The three movies where one was about childhood, one was about middle age, one was about death or old age. And that's what this one is. The old age.
Okay.
The third part.
What was the second part?
I'm going to avoid that until in case somebody has it.
All right. So, Jenny.
My number three.
What was it for them? That was three? Two for you, Kevin?
Two, yeah.
It was a tie for number one.
That's number
oh,
one?
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, so
you have a
so
tie
it is the
for
other
your number one?
You did,
he's a cheater.
You did the other one then.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It makes sense because it comes back around.
Okay, all right.
He's already talking about it.
Fine.
He knows.
Okay. All right, my number three is 1999, actually, and it's Dogma. It's
Take that.
So it is religious. It is Bible yeah. magic. Bible magic.
I agree with that.
No, no. Yeah. But I was just looking because we.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Alienating people.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff happening off mic right
know,
now.
Sorry,
the audience
sorry.
Yeah,
too.
A lot of pointing.
Yeah.
And like, eye glances. And
like, knuckle bumps. And, yeah. So let's
so
talk
Dogma.
About
it's my favorite Kevin Smith movie.
Really?
Favorite? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's the best written one.
Over what? What else? What's your favorite?
Chasing Amy.
It doesn't. I don't think it holds up as well as this one.
I would watch Dogma way like almost. There was a time in my life where I feel like I was watching it every day. And Chasing Amy, I don't think I could do that with.
Mallrats is the funniest that I would watch every day. Chasing Amy is the most complete. It has the best performances. It has the most well-rounded script, and he follows through with it too. I
like the cast better in Dogma than I do Mallrats.
Because well, he put everybody in it.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly. It's fantastic. It was. My type of movie when it was like popular in my generation. In 99 I didn't see it back then, but in like middle school it was really popular, and so I saw it like all the time, as well as Wayne's World. You know, those were the two movies we watched all the time, and I could pretty much, you know, say quote it word for
you can't
word,
watch Wayne's World with me. It is annoying.
No, I won't watch Wayne's World anymore at all because I've watched it too much.
That was the we're homesick. That's the we're homesick. Let's put on Wayne's World movie. So,
yeah, who said I'm going to watch any movie with you? Jesus.
But, what? But you know what? Dogma really kind of. Well, I consider myself like an atheist, but I think Dogma was a movie that kind of was like. Oh, like interesting point.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it kind of.
You're going atheist. Yeah. You're going full in, huh?
I've always kind of.
No, because I puss out. I go agnostic. I'm like, fuck. I'm no.
You're like, I don't want to piss anybody off.
And
he's all in.
Yeah. Alan Rickman alone.
Oh, Rickman, yeah, it's Rickman's yeah. best awesome. Part. Rickman's best part. Yeah. About it was the best thing about that too. Is it's like the first Rickman performance where he gets to just let loose. You know, he doesn't have to do some accent.
When was Galaxy Quest?
Something might have been
right then.
After.
I think.
Right after.
So it's like this.
Right after.
Right after.
Oh, after. Before. Okay.
Maybe you're before.
I want to say 2000. Yeah. I want to say 2000.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Okay.
But no, this movie is really great. And it's kind of like, it's funny because it's a religious movie, but it's not preachy. I feel it's not
oh,
preachy.
No, yeah.
They're
I
both,
agree.
They're both 99.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I love this movie. It was the first Kevin Smith movie I saw in theaters.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. No, but I also.
Chasing Amy.
I also. You Ooh, saw yeah. Chasing Amy in theaters?
Yeah.
You're old.
12?
I know, because I got my mom to rent Clerks for me because I'd heard so much about it, and you know, all that stuff went over my head, so I'd been following him since then. And Mallrats never got released, and I was like, let's go get Mallrats on VHS, let's go get it. Love that. And I remember
Mallrats was never released in theaters. I didn't really
it got a limited release, so
oh,
like when
you
I wasn't living in LA, so but and then when Chasing Amy came, I remember because I was living I was kind of free there. I was out of school at the time, and it was in Laughlin, Nevada, and I remember we went to see Chasing Amy. It was awesome.
Well, I love Chasing Amy. I think that was the first one I saw was Chasing Amy, and then I went back and watched Clerks and Mallrats all the time in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yeah.
And then, but Dogma, like that was a big event. Like,
I don't think I saw Dogma actually in theaters.
Me and two of my friends made her aunt take us to go see it. So we got to see Dogma. And I love them both. Those are my two favorite of his film. Well, now I've got Red State too. But between those two, the only thing I can say is Chasing Amy is the one that's on Criterion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're agreeing with me, or what are you saying?
Pretty much.
Okay.
That's as close as to agreeing as I'm going to get, is saying it. Chasing Amy's
on
Criterion.
The only thing is,
though,
Chasing Amy's not a fantasy film.
What's a Nubian?
It's not a fantasy film. Sorry.
A straight guy turning a lesbian straight, that's a fantasy.
That's a male fantasy.
Male fantasy. Yeah.
So it's on Kevin's
list. On the ledge a little bit.
Yep.
A little bit.
No, again, I love Dogma. Just like with Star Wars and other
ones.
It's
a great pick.
You don't think fantasy, though, when I think of Dogma.
Do there's creatures?
No, I do.
What else would you call it?
There's magic.
Yeah.
Jesus is magic.
There's people with wings flying.
I know. I'm not.
What else would you call it, though? What genre would you name it as?
Satire.
Uh-huh. That's not a genre.
Let's go satire.
It's not a drama.
I'm not going to make fun of you on this one, Brian. It counts as a satire, but it's also fantasy.
Because there's three Terry Gilliam films that could be included here, and one of them I think more is a satire than fantasy. It just that's the thing that pops in my head first.
Okay. I don't think of that as a genre, but okay.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
You're hurting my feelings here. I'm a girl. You feel bad for me. I'm just kidding. Why are you like apologizing? It's okay. I don't care.
Just playing the girl card. I'm scared.
I don't care.
So
people feel bad when they like we don't like your movie. I'm sorry.
People do that?
No, I feel like it's happened before here.
I don't
feel bad.
We fear change.
It's a cool movie. Cool pick.
Yeah.
I concur.
Cool.
So my number three. Are we at three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I don't know where we are.
We got some crossover this time.
Number three is from 1993, and it's a French movie called Les Visiteurs. And it's basically the Visitors.
Visitors.
Yeah. And it's they remade this movie into just Visiting. And it's the same cast, but with
Jean Reno
and
Christine Applegate's in the French version.
Christian Clavier, and it's really, really fun. I mean, the remake was kind of funny because it was a little different, but
don't defend it.
The original, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
You're the guy that's all in. You don't need to defend stuff.
I enjoyed the original. It's slapsticky, but so basically it's. I don't know if you guys saw the remake at all.
Nope.
Basically,
I haven't seen either.
It's a knight and a servant. They're fighting this witch, and they get sent back. They get sent into the future. They're eight. What is it? 13th
they get sent
century?
Back to the future.
Yeah, forward to the future. Sorry.
No, I like
and,
back to the future.
And they're in present day France, and which is 1993, and it's really funny because you know they're knights, so that's funny. You know, fish out of water, in the genre no. And it's him doing like slapstick, and so is like his servant. The servant is the actor who plays him is like amazing, and it's really well done, and it's funny, and like it's kind of got some romance, which is cool.
So with all this time travel, you guys are making me think that it's not going to really happen. It's just fantasy. It's just a dream.
Well,
plus you tend to like the fish out of water time travel movie. That's your number. That's two.
I do. So, again. It's Les Visiteurs.
Les Visiteurs.
So check it out.
Nice.
Is it on Netflix?
No. It's only on DVD. Yeah. Mm. But just Visiting isn't that bad. But it just if you've seen the original, you're like, oh, like the jokes in the original are so much funnier because it's really really slapsticky at some parts. So check it out if you get a chance.
Those crazy French.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it when you do their accent like that.
Yeah.
Oui.
So my number three is from 1986, and it's Labyrinth.
Damn you!
That's my number one.
Nice. Awesome. Cool. Yep.
Why you gotta do that?
Because I'm an asshole.
What number is it for you?
I don't think you're an asshole, but it's also not on my list. So, honorable mention.
Number one.
Number one.
Not on my list.
Too.
How can it not be? David Bowie. Come on.
Yeah. Seriously.
David Bowie.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't really work with the vibe I'm going for. I already had one that doesn't work with the vibe I'm going for.
Don't go that way.
Yeah.
Don't go that way.
We just watched Being Elmo, the documentary, and they talked a little bit about Labyrinth.
Well, because that was the first time he got like billed.
Yeah.
And David Bowie's tights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Jareth.
Oh, yeah.
Looking
yeah.
at the fucking Oracle's tits and David Bowie's codpiece.
That's how I grew up. I grew up thinking that's a man and a woman.
Wow. So he was both?
No, the Oracle.
No.
David Bowie.
David Bowie.
That's a man and a woman. Yeah, it's a cool pick.
Go ahead, Kevin. You go first, Kevin. You go ahead.
I mean, this is a movie that I grew up with as a kid, and I can quote lines from it, and it's just, I rewatched it this week, and it doesn't lose anything. It's not nostalgia that keeps it good. It's just an amazing movie.
Fantastic.
The creatures look fantastic, and the puppet, I mean.
Jim Henson.
Jim Henson is awesome.
Another Monty Python.
He likes beating up the mic stands.
Monty Python, Terry Jones wrote the script, so he had another Monty Python connection.
Yeah.
They're good at fantasy.
They're great at fantasy.
They know what to do with it.
And then, I mean, David Bowie, and the songs are catchy, and they get stuck in your head, and it's the sound.
What
it's...
kind of magic spell to use? No?
I couldn't resist mentioning any songs.
They all have songs.
Have you heard about the babe?
What babe?
The babe with the power.
What power?
You're doing it. Do it. Finish it.
No, don't finish it, dude.
Power of voodoo.
Hey, her head don't come off.
That scene is so awesome.
That scene creeps me out as a child.
It's scary too. That's what you gotta have.
The part with the hands, the well of hands that she falls down. Jeez, which way do you want to go? That shit.
Yeah, the way they talk. Yeah,
going down.
Yeah, creepy. God, yeah. I love this movie, but
Sarah.
Cool. Yeah, again, lots of cool creature names. Hoggle.
Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Jim Henson fan. I love his puppets.
I've never seen Dark Crystal.
Ricardo loves Jim Henson.
I haven't seen Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal. Dark Crystal gets creepy.
I haven't seen Dark Crystal
for some reason. For having Labyrinth number one, you two, we haven't seen Dark Crystal. What's wrong with us?
I know.
I don't know what's wrong.
I'm like, I gotta watch it, and then
It's a weird movie.
It's one
really
of those
weird.
Where I'm like, I've seen Labyrinth, and it can't be as good as Labyrinth, so I'll just see it when I see it. That's where my thought process goes. I think
it's very different.
It doesn't have Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
No David Bowie.
No David.
And it gets creepier at times.
Way creepy.
Jennifer Connelly is crying in every movie she's in. I've noticed that trend. There's no movie. Name a movie where she's not crying.
She has a really good crying face.
Did she cry in that movie with Vince Vaughn and Kevin James?
Probably.
The Dilemma? Yeah.
She's introduced crying in
Hopefully.
Once Upon a Time, right? She's like, for scene.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
So, there you go.
You have no power over me.
What number are we on?
We're on number three. You're number three?
The masquerade ball scene. That's intense.
My number three.
Should be Labyrinth.
No, it's not. My number three is from 1982. And I'll just ask you a question. What is best in life? Because it's Conan the Barbarian. Yeah. 1982. Yeah. That's what's fucking best in life.
Yeah.
I fucking love this movie.
I know this fought to be on my list, and it just got edged out.
I knew you were going here. Yeah. I knew you were going to do
this. I knew somebody was going to put it on there. Mm-hmm. And but tell me this. Where do they rank? So this is your number one in the Conan.
Of
all
the Conan movies?
Yeah.
Conan.
Okay. The Barbarian.
The Barbarian is number one.
Yeah.
Destroyer.
Red Sonja, which isn't actually a Conan movie.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, for me, too. I'm showing you Red Sonja.
Then Conan the Destroyer.
Then Krull the Conqueror.
That is not a Conan movie.
It was supposed to be.
Yeah, but it's not.
No, you know, I just rewatched both.
And then I didn't see the new one.
I didn't see the new one.
Either. I just rewatched these like 3 months ago, back to back, the Destroyer and Barbarian and Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
I like them both about the same, you know?
You're on crack.
No, I dug them both. I
like Conan the Destroyer, but especially watching them back to back, it's so much shittier than Conan the Barbarian.
No, I like some of the things they have. I like the
So cheesy.
I like some of that. You take away a lot of violence, and you add a lot of cheese, and you know it's a different movie, but it's still fun.
It's a very different movie. It's like I can't. I like it. I have them both, but I mean also that's because
I was also
it came as a two
Oliver Stone
a 2DB set. One of the Oliver Stone Milius.
Yeah.
I was also struck by how Zelda-like the some of the plot is.
Yeah, I didn't like Zelda.
I found a
cave.
That's
probably why I didn't like the movie.
With a sword. Like, I'm like, this is a fantasy.
Wait, was Grace Jones in Zelda, too? Because I totally would have finished playing Zelda if Grace Jones shows up in it. No? Is that a no? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
they're good, though.
Grace Jones is not in Conan the Barbarian. She's in Conan the Destroyer. Conan the Barbarian is amazing. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who else is in this? James Earl Jones, Max von Sydow. You got John Milius directing a script he co-wrote with Oliver Stone,
who was a really good screenwriter.
A little bit better than Conan the Destroyer. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what, too? You know what?
Sandal Bergman. She's really good in this, and she's really good in Red Sonja as the queen, the evil queen.
Yeah. In Red Sonja, when he fights that in the cave, the serpent creature is pretty cool.
In Red Sonja, when he fights a serpent creature?
Yeah.
He fights a serpent creature in Conan the Barbarian.
Barbarian's all about serpent creatures.
Mm-hmm. Then I'm thinking of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sandal Bergman's also there.
Yeah. So now you know the name of everything. Yeah. So what's the because the thing I always remembered as a kid was the wheel. What's it called?
The wheel?
But he has to, like, he's a kid and then he pushes it.
I don't remember them giving a name to that.
I thought that had a name. I thought you knew the name of that.
No. I remember put him on the Tree of Woe.
What's the name of his sword?
I don't remember his sword having a name.
It had a name.
You just saw these movies like 2 days ago. So
yeah, you're the one that just watched them.
Cheater.
I didn't need to watch this one. I knew this one was going to be on my list right in the middle.
You know what's great also, too? The fucking score is amazing in these movies.
What's the Greek guy?
Well, in this one is.
Yeah.
It's not the same for the second one. Like, I mean, they use some of the same music, but I don't feel like it's the exact same. Yeah.
Well, you know what? This guy wrote the score to RoboCop. So that's why
I can hear that.
It's a lot of brass.
Greek guy. What's his name?
Basil? Paul the something.
Paul the Greek. Greek
Basil Apollinarius.
Apollinarius.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good score.
Yeah, I just love this movie. This one's so much more epic than...
And you know, I feel like
the Destroyer.
Rewatching it, I felt like it. I wanted it to be as epic as the poster is, and as epic as the final shot is when he's like, "That's for another time," you know. And that's I want that. I want that story. I want more. It needed to be like 4-hour epic Conan thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but then they did Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like it.
Red Sonja number 2 for me. And the ranking of that.
So yes. I mean,
Cool.
I couldn't bring myself to see the new one.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, I might Redbox it one day.
Yeah. Or wait for it on cable.
Mm-hmm.
Get it for free.
But seriously, the Riddle of Steel, when James Earl Jones, just like, that is the power, when he has the woman just step off the cliff.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
All Conan the Destroyer's got is the crazy wizard, the mirror wizard lizard dude.
That's awesome.
Mirror wizard lizard dude.
Yeah.
That's actually in the movie.
Yeah.
And that girl funnier. With her crazy dreams. And she's just such a bad actress.
I know, but she's cute.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Moving on.
Who's it? Will?
Moving on.
It's Brian. Got Will Chamberlain,
Brian,
right?
Brian, you're number 2.
We're on to 2? Jesus. Okay. Well,
dead air. Just fucking give us your number 2.
We're just getting into it.
No, he said Jesus.
Oh, wait. Here we go.
Jesus of Nazareth.
This is it.
Number 2.
Passion of the Christ?
Lord of the Rings.
Which one?
Trilogy. All of them.
Yeah, because he's one of those crazy people who thinks it counts as one.
Counts as one.
It doesn't.
It does.
It's 3 movies.
We're not getting into this again. We're going to talk about the merits of all 3 and not debate whether or not 3 count as one.
So it's a tie for number 2.
So, yeah. No. He's a 3-way tie. 3 shitty movies
it's
for number
2.
It's
one story.
3 shitty movies.
Shot at the same time, and they're amazing.
I fucking hate Lord of the Rings. I've seen them once, and I don't. If I live 3 lifetimes, I never want to see them again.
I saw them once.
I will see the
and
Hobbit.
Then he
though.
Keeps talking about how much he fucking loves them, so I will watch them again. And I'm like, you know what? They still suck, and actually, they look worse now because the CG looks terrible. I'm sorry, it looks like a bad video game.
Yeah.
Also, the extendeds.
Oh my god, worst fucking thing ever!
I can't watch them without the extendeds now. To me, because
you have a problem.
No, because when I first saw it, I knew nothing about Lord of the Rings. I went in blank. And I was like,
I miss those days.
I was like,
I knew nothing about Lord of the Rings.
Too. I was like, that was interesting, but they didn't destroy the ring. I thought they were going to get to the Mordor by now. And then when it came on DVD extended, then it made sense. And it filled in all the extra depth that was missing, all the little things that just made that a better world and a better story. And they're amazing. It's not just hobbits walking, and they're not gay.
It is, and they are.
There's one thing I hate more than Lord of the Rings, and that's King Kong. I'm fucking.
Well, but Jackson's King Kong.
Yes,
because King Kong, the original, was almost on my list.
Okay,
yes.
Come on.
Help
me out here, guys.
I just assumed you could take it by yourself, but apparently. Yeah.
No, because they're just. Because you know what? Here's the thing. If you want to not like them, that's fine, but I just hate the easy, dismissive. Things people grab onto that doesn't actually tell me whether or not you like it or not. It's just the simple, oh, they're long, or oh, it's got 10 endings. And
I loved Lord of the Rings I've seen every single one of them opening weekend when they've been in theaters. I cannot wait for The Hobbit to come out. I love everything about them.
They're gorgeous.
They're well done. The story, the in-depth part of the story, like it's just like how in-depth a Star Wars story is, where there's so many worlds and there's so many places and there's so many movies today where they don't do that, you know, like they just don't go into depth about anything. They make a little story and they don't think about the backstory.
Just flash.
At
just all flash. They don't. And they don't do anything else.
This one, there's so much backstory to it that it's just, it's so well written and so well done, and the acting I enjoy. I enjoy everything about, like,
can you two say something positive about it? Can you, anything positive you liked about it at all?
I don't have to watch
him
again.
Can you admit that Andy Serkis is amazing as Gollum?
Yeah, I'll admit that.
That the score is all time great.
I won't admit that.
How?
Not even a little bit.
Why?
No, come on.
No, it just like.
But no, but
maybe because it's a
you've
sense
only
memory,
listened to
when
it
I hear
with
the score,
the movie,
it makes
correct?
Me think of the movie, and I don't like the movie.
Okay.
No.
The score
this on itself, I have. I mean, like everybody knows, we also have a music podcast, and I've heard a lot of most of the score, and it just wasn't as powerful as the other things I've listened to. It didn't. A good score will make me be like, oh fuck, I totally remember this scene, and oh, I want to see it again now. Like,
oh, that's what it does to me.
It doesn't to me. It doesn't do that
to me too. It's just it's created these iconic things where, you know, it was just on the page and he brought it to life. And you've seen other adaptations where they do it lazily and they don't put thought into it. And here, you know, you have these images, these, you know, the cinematography, there's some shots in there that are gorgeous that I put up against anything else. Just things that you remember, like when you start Two Towers and there's that wide shot of them falling with the Balrog and it just, you know, it cuts out and just this light coming through the caves. It's beautiful. I mean, that is great filmmaking. I don't know what you guys were
and
watching.
I know you guys are all, I even watch it now and the CGI is bad. Well, when it came out then, it was fantastic. And if you go back to The Labyrinth, if you watch it now for the first time, the CGI is bad. I mean,
there's
you can
CGI
say that about
in the
anything. Okay, you know what I mean.
Special, yeah. Effects.
Special
effects.
Special effects. Sorry,
no,
my bad. But,
yeah.
But it's like the same thing. So it's like,
everything's dated. Everything's
yeah.
Dated.
Yeah, but you can't really use that as a thing.
Here's my thing with that movie.
I can, though, because I don't have to watch it.
And it's
it
not just
bad.
And it's not just CGI. The guy brilliantly mixed in miniatures and all kinds of special effects. He didn't just rely on CGI.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I liked about it. It was a good use of, like you said, I did watch the making of, because I'm a nerd and I watch all the special features on any movie. And
all this stuff
was really amazing and cool. And Ian McKellen was amazing as Gandalf. There was a lot of there was a lot of really great performances.
The force perspective special effects that they do, just the in-camera
cool
stuff.
But just overall, like, it just, I've seen movies that are longer and that are considered boring, and I've been more like, I just didn't care for fucking Frodo or, you know, all the homoerotic themes throughout the movie.
I don't care about the homoerotic stuff. Not just that. I just don't care about Frodo. Don't give a shit about him.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Yeah. Okay. Or Sam. I wanted Sam to die. Okay. I'm like, this guy's just...
Seriously,
just,
they're not likable.
The last
just
thing,
a follower.
The last
just
thing
just
I want to say.
Following me, man.
The last thing I want to say.
It's a monkey on his back.
I know. Just slowing me down, dude.
The claim that it has too many endings is most annoying thing to me, because you have
true,
because you have a 10-hour movie and I was watching it going, please don't end right now. I need time.
I need it.
Had this epic journey and you needed to come down from it. You couldn't just fade the black. You had to have this moment and you had to have the next moment. And it's not another ending, it's just finally wrapping it up nicely, because there's so much that you were experiencing. You can't just cut the black. You can't just smash cut the black. Oh, the ring's gone. Okay, movie's over. You had to come down from that. You don't just end an epic series that way.
But I'll tell you this. I will see The Hobbit. I'll see a midnight showing of The Hobbit for one reason.
Okay. All right.
Kevin, come on. Say something. Right. Say something, Kevin.
Sorry.
He doesn't want to get a middle.
Say something, Kevin.
I will say that I really like the movie, but I do think it has too many endings. And I know what you're talking about, but the way he sets it up is he sets up each of those things as an ending. It's not like I'm easing you into an ending.
Yeah.
It's here's an ending. Here's another ending. Here's another ending. But I love these movies, and I've rewatched them several times. I just rewatched them, I think, like a month ago. But
Extendeds?
No, I didn't rewatch those.
I don't prefer.
I do love the Extendeds, and I actually want to go to the Alamo Draft House where they're going to show them all, and you get to eat
the Hobbit food.
The Hobbit food.
Do you agree with the three as one, or you prefer one over the other?
I do. I don't agree with them as three as one.
So which would you prefer?
I would go with Two Towers.
Two Towers.
Yeah, I probably would too.
Yeah. See, just the thing that, like,
fly, you fools.
Like, you guys are talking about, and I can respect that. Hey, you guys, like, that's the sort of things.
No, I completely get, like, I couldn't really care for Frodo either, to be completely honest. And I get that that's, like, it's supposed to be his story, but there are just so many other characters that I do care about that it just, it worked out for me. I'm a huge Merry and Pippin fan. My cat is named Pippin because of this character. And they're my favorite characters. I love Gandalf. I love Aragorn. I love, what's his name that's in Game of Thrones? I love, like, all
Sean
those.
Bean?
Yeah. All those characters, the small ones
Eddard
that
Stark.
You wouldn't think that would which, matter
well,
as much,
at least
I cared more about them than I did Frodo, which is fine because it didn't matter to me that Frodo wasn't in the whole movie anyways. He was only in parts of it.
It got to a point where I was just sitting there waiting to see, like, who's going to pop up that I like?
And
Brad Dourif, awesome.
Yeah,
Brad Dourif
was
going to
show up.
Yeah.
Okay, I like him too.
But again, especially for fantasy, you guys got to appreciate that it's brought fantasy out of the doldrums and it's... And it approached it.
How did it bring fantasy out? What other good fantasy movie has come out because of Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Thank you for Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings. Thank you for Game of Thrones.
I haven't seen Game of Thrones.
Well, you will say thank you to Lord of the Rings for it.
I doubt it. I don't think I'll thank Lord of the Rings for
anything. The point
being
is there's some films that it's just like...
On principle.
Yeah. It's just like when you have a great sci-fi film
In fact, they blame it for King Kong.
No. No, it's just like... You guys, it's just like when you have a great sci-fi that doesn't treat it like it's a kid's thing and it actually takes it seriously. That's what Lord of the Rings did for fantasy. Come on, don't you appreciate
that
at least?
You were just talking about how you liked the cheesy Conan the Destroyer as opposed to the epic Conan the Barbarian, so fuck
you. No, I didn't say I preferred one over the other.
You just said you did!
No, I said I like them both. The point being
I'll rewind this fucking thing.
I said I like them both. I didn't say I like Destroyer more. The point being is, it's like, let's take this seriously. It's not just for kids.
They took
it
so seriously, though. So fucking seriously. Oh my god, like it's the movie to end all movies.
You know what?
It's fucking Gone with the Wind or Schindler's List.
This has been said before, and especially by Kevin Smith, but it was a bunch of fucking walking.
No, it wasn't.
To throw a fucking stupid ring on the fucking fire.
Look, that's a funny scene in Clerks 2, but that's all that is. It's not a valid argument.
Oh, it's totally a valid argument. Why didn't Gandalf just like,
about?
If he's a wizard, why couldn't he made a dragon that Frodo could have flown all the way to Mordor, thrown the effing ring, and the movie would have been over in 10 minutes? It would have been a short film. Done. I would have loved it. Great cinematography
because of the Nazgul flying their fucking
connection to the
Come on.
Ring that Frodo had.
It had Nazgul.
Let go of it. Come on.
God, there's so you
see now we're just hanging you on now because we know how much
like
you
all your
care
all your other arguments were fine, but the walking arguments. Come on.
Yes, it was a lot of walking. Why couldn't they ride horses? Why didn't Frodo ride a damn horse?
He's a hobbit.
It doesn't matter. They could have made like a special,
and he did.
Willow rode a horse.
He did ride a
Willow
horse.
Did ride
when
a
they
horse.
Get a horse, they rode a horse. But when they get to a fucking mountain, they got to go through the Mines of Moria.
Mule. They could have got a mule. Mules go up mountains
pack
all the time.
Yeah.
Mule's gonna stick with you, and a Balrog's up your ass.
Well, yeah.
Samwise was sticking with you, so why wouldn't a mule?
No.
He's
so what we want
stubborn.
You to do as a listener is to write on our wall and tell us if you love or hate Lord of the Rings. It's obviously either or right
now. But that being said, like I said, I'm going to go to the midnight showing of The Hobbit just because Guillermo del Toro co-wrote it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to go to a midnight showing of it.
Next.
I don't know if I'll go to the midnight showing.
I'm done
but
with midnight
I'll go
shows.
See it. I know.
I'll go to the midnight showing.
I'm too old for that.
I have kids. Three of them. Can't do midnight.
Aww. Okay. So, my two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. My number two is The Wizard of Oz. I picked it.
Honorable mention.
This movie freaks the hell out of me. Just like Dumbo and Alice in Wonderland.
All right. We're going to have an argument about Wizard of Oz. No,
I'm just saying. It's one of those movies.
Well, actually, I prefer Return to Oz. No, I'm just kidding. But have you?
I prefer The Wiz.
That's another kind of scary.
Sadie Lumet.
Wait, so if The Wizard of Oz scares you, does The Return to Oz scare you also? Because that's fucking
Wheelers. I've never seen it.
I've never seen Return to Oz either.
I just like the trip balls with Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
I have yet to do that.
I have it on a DVD synced up, so you don't have to.
You're like, screw working for it.
Well, because you know, you got to do it when
someone had to sync it up.
You got to do it when the second lion roars. You got to, you know.
Give me that.
I know
give
that.
Me a copy
I just
that.
Haven't done it yet.
Maybe we should see it.
Yeah,
just
I should
the
do
hell
it.
Out.
Yeah.
No, this Bambi, Dumbo, and Alice in Wonderland scare the hell out of me.
I don't like Bambi and Dumbo ever. I don't think I've ever watched them all the
way. I can't remember the last time I've seen the end of Wizard of Oz.
Or Pinocchio.
Dark Side of the Moon doesn't go past a certain point. I
thought you were supposed to start it up again.
No, it doesn't work. Just the first one through.
Oh,
one time
when
through.
Does it end?
It's right so after they meet
lazy.
The Scarecrow. Right when they meet the Scarecrow.
I'm only going to do this because I love Pink Floyd.
I thought there was a whole scene with the poppy fields, though.
And the with monkeys.
With the music.
Flying monkeys.
I'm trying to remember. No, not with the monkeys. But it literally, like, the like the song starts as soon as it goes to color, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know why it syncs up and, you know, whatever the conspiracy theory, but it's just cool to be like, oh, that syncs.
Yeah.
That would take a lot of... Okay.
Yeah, it'd be too difficult to do that.
Yeah, it'd be too, like, mathematically impossible.
But whoever discovered that, yeah. and it is kind of freaky.
Well, somebody who was really high. Yeah. And was like, yeah. Just leave the album on, man. Just leave it on. Just put the movie on. In the background, and then someone's yeah. like, "Oh my God, look at this!"
They're like, "Wait, what if we started it a little bit earlier?"
But there are some things where it's like on the cut, when the witch shows up on the bike, and it's like, you know, yeah. just like on that.
Didn't you guys take the editing class at LACC when she would just like play a song and show you how it would sync up with stuff?
No, but it's not just that; it's like lyrics and stuff too.
Yeah. Because music is...
Yes, there are plenty of other people say, like, oh, Radiohead, Nightmare on Elm Street, or not Nightmare on Elm Street.
I want to see that. Yeah, I want to see that right
now. That's amazing.
Yes, but I've seen some of these other ones where people are saying, like, oh, you play anything on anything. This one, it's more so than anything I've ever seen. It's, you know, it's worth... It's not, like,
I'm not
the greatest
I'm
thing ever.
Saying,
it's not the greatest thing ever. It's just kind of cool.
I'm just saying yeah. it's not like it's a fluke that someone discovered that it matches up.
Yeah.
Because...
Right, no, I'm not an idiot.
Well, that's...
Let's talk about Wizard of Oz. It's classic. Okay. It's awesome.
We don't want to argue that point. Because we'll win.
We're not going to... This podcast will not be top five
Brian's
reasons
an idiot.
An idiot.
All right. So,
lots of honorable mentions.
Yeah. All right. So what are we, number two?
Mm-hmm.
For my number
Wait,
two?
That was all we got for Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's classic.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah. It's right? Yeah.
It's
fantastic.
It.
Yeah. There's nothing bad about it.
Can I say
it? Just didn't come out in the 80s.
I want to make fun of my wife.
Right.
No,
I want to make fun of my wife for a second. We were just watching Peter Pan.
She's not going to listen to this.
Fine. We were just...
So it's safe for him to make fun of her.
No, she might. She might, because I'm on it. But we were watching Peter Pan.
Amy, what's up?
We were watching Peter Pan, and, you know, I was like, trying to be coy with the kids, like, the father, he sounds a lot like Captain Hook, you know? And she's like, oh. And Amy's like, he does. And I'm like, I was trying to be coy with the kids. And I'm like, you know, did you just realize that? She's like, yeah. I'm like, you know, that's like with most fantasy, you know, Wizard of Oz, you know, she meets them all, and then they're all in the fantasy land too. That's the whole point, is like the dad is Captain Hook. Yeah. She's smart.
Which
you're a dick, dude.
Peter
the cartoon.
Yeah.
Well, because they do it in every Peter.
Well, that's why I told her. Yeah. I'm like, that's the tradition on stage was to do that same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, my number two is from 1986, Big Trouble in Little China.
Honorable yeah.
Mentions. Nice.
See, that's fantasy. You did that fantasy, but not martial arts. Were you saving it? Is that?
No, I wouldn't do it as martial arts.
Okay.
Because Kurt Russell doesn't do any martial arts.
That's he's the elite. Joke. That's what's awesome is he thinks he's the hero, but he's really the sidekick to the other guy.
But I love this movie.
Jack Burton.
Any movie where a guy just wears a wife beater throughout the whole movie, pretty amazing.
I just rewatched that too a month ago also.
And this is just a cool movie, and it's just ever since I watched it as a kid, I've always been in love with it. And he's a trucker. He's a trucker, dude.
It's such a good kids film in a weird way.
Yeah, and I always wanted a sequel. At the end, you know, there's a little bit, there's a mm-hmm. creature.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, part two, where is it?
It's got those weird scary elements.
Yeah.
Like when the guy puffs himself up.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the villain.
The weird
warp.
Yeah. The weird.
All the Raidens.
Yeah. No, let me
the Raidens.
What's the line? What's the line? He's like, now you say this really pisses me off. Like when the monitors, he's all old. What's the guy's name?
The villain, the main villain?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember his name. It's not my pick.
Fuck.
Wenji?
Maybe.
But anyway, it's a cool movie, and it's John Carpenter and Kurt Russell. What else do you need? Done.
Yeah. Is that your favorite?
Carpenter was good.
Is that your favorite Carpenter?
I remember Victor Wong.
Ghost of Mars is my number one. But
I think we went over this with The Thing.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
I think if you don't say The Thing is your number one, I don't think. I just knock you over the head, you know.
It's funny how that's become standard now. But anyways.
Prince of Darkness. No? Got Victor it. Wong's in that, too.
Vampires.
My number two was Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Okay.
Ricardo was just yelling vampires, by the way. He likes vampires.
Vampires.
I do like
not
vampires.
Not the movie. Not the movie. He was just vampires.
They're fantasy.
He just wanted to give a shout-out to vampires.
My number two, which is something I do think I have used before, but whatever. It's an awesome movie. 1987, The Princess Bride.
Nice. Yeah, I thought about it, but it was in my favorite movies of all time, so I didn't put it. But
this could be in so many lists.
Definitely.
This
could, yeah.
This is a good comedy, movie. Fantasy.
Awesome. awesome. Romance.
Well, that's my other romance. Thing when I was thinking about this. That's action. Like, so technically, like an Indiana Jones. I was like, I almost put Temple of Doom on this
Yeah,
list.
I had actually thought Indiana Jones, but then I
Gallimah.
I tried doing that
I would freak my little brother out all the time.
We could, I want, you could freak people out by that. Yeah. Like if you Unum Shabbat. Unum Shabbat. Yeah. You're like, oh my God. What are you doing? I once did that to my cousin.
I didn't know that that was fantasy. I was like, you can do that?
Yeah. You can.
What? Also, like this movie falls into the category of that. I think you could also put it. If we made a category about movies, about people telling stories, yeah. That's the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Would, oh, we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about Princess Bride again, by the way, for the audience.
I'm going to be I really like this movie, but I'm not in love with this movie like everybody else I know.
Well, I'm you that don't one have soul, so
yeah. I just, what's wrong with you?
Because I remember all the drama geeks loved it, and I'm just like, yeah, that movie's good.
I think this is another movie.
I'm going to go watch Predator again.
And
you know, like,
and you know what? I didn't
I
see
would
this.
Take Princess Bride over
I didn't
Predator
see this until I was an adult. I didn't see this until I met Michelle.
Wait, so but you do love this movie?
I love this movie, yeah.
Okay, well, see, that just you just fucked my theory. Because my whole I thought it was the nostalgia factor again, because I love the movie, and I just had Savannah, my girlfriend, watch it, and she didn't grow up with it, and she enjoyed it, but she doesn't love it. Like, she didn't.
No, your theory sucks.
I know. Yeah. You just killed it. You just fucking shat on it right there.
It's no, yeah. But see, it's a great fantasy film. It's awesome. I don't, you know, I'm just not.
But you know what?
I'll pop
it. I fucking love
in
it.
In it for you.
Yeah.
No little people.
I know.
Billy Crystal. Songs. I think Billy Crystal is the shortest guy in that movie. Don't get me started on the songs. Don't go back there. No That's one of the worst parts of that movie to me.
So, all agreed, it's a good movie. I think this is the only one we've all agreed on, I think. I guess Wizard of Oz as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We've agreed on stuff.
Ah, shut up, Brian. What's your number one? Recap it. And what's
Quiet,
your number
you.
One?
Why didn't you say so?
We're one Labyrinth did it already.
Okay, so recap.
Number five, Pleasantville. Number four, Neverending Story. Number three, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. Number two, Lord of the Rings Extended Edition Trilogies. Plural. I'm gonna fuck that up.
Boring.
Number one
trilogies. It's three trilogies.
Yes. Number one Labyrinth.
Okay.
Fuckly.
So. My number five. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what? Okay. Yeah. You really you have to see the movie. You fucking have to see it.
Your
okay.
Recap.
My number. Yes, sir.
Don't want you to spoil it for me, guys.
I'll go see it with you again.
All right.
Okay. My number five was Highlander. My number four was Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Three, Dogma. Two, Wizard of Oz. And one, Labyrinth.
Cool. All right. My number five was Army of Darkness. Number four, Star Wars. Episode four, guys. Come on.
Don't call it episode four.
Yeah. Don't call it episode four. I'm Brian.
It's Star Wars.
Okay, Carmen.
People know what you mean. Star Wars. That's it. Star Wars.
A New Hope.
A New
Hope. No, it's not New Hope. It's Star Wars.
It was
Wars.
Called A New Hope originally.
It's Star Wars.
I know.
Don't confuse people. He's actually talking about the Star Wars trilogy. He considers them all one movie.
I know.
Movie.
It's one
trilogies.
Movie.
Were those shot at the same, same time?
Mm-hmm. Almost.
And did he have it all in... Conceived the entire story.
It was in his mind.
It was
he
all
conceived
in his
mind. Episode 1-6, dude.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that.
Again,
just Star Wars, please. Just Star Wars,
dude. I'm gonna
if
throw my shirt
Star
your face,
Wars,
dude.
Then you say it's something else. Because if it's not,
number
then
five,
simmer down.
Number five, Army of Darkness. Number four, Star Wars. Episode four, Fuck A you. New Hope from 1977. Number three, Les Vies de Tours. Number two, they The Trouble in Little China. I'm trying to get through this. Number one. Time to get serious, guys. The only fucking reason I'm going to go see The Hobbit is for this man, and it's Guillermo del Toro and Pan's fucking Labyrinth. It's
I
not called.
You're gonna put that.
It's,
that was the working title.
Yeah. Pan's fucking Labyrinth.
Pan's fucking Labyrinth.
I love this movie, and, you know, it's an amazing movie, I think.
It is. I felt really bad about not having it on my list, but I was just like, I'm just going to concentrate on swords and sorcery kind of from the 80s, just so my life's easier and I don't go crazy.
Don't punch me in the face, but I did too. I've never seen it.
That's right. I mean...
But I knew you would put this on there, so I felt like it was going to be okay. What does he say?
Absolutamente nada. I love this movie. I'm always saying that. I think it's a really good fantasy film, but it's rated R, and there's like it's really violent.
I love that Scott Weinberg had it on his top 50 horror movies of the last decade too, because it's really creepy.
Yeah. It is.
It's scary. Yeah. I mean, it's creepy, but also really scary, I felt. And then it's just a great story and just like top-notch acting, I think, all around. Mm-hmm.
Someone, I don't remember who said this, someone just said something recently about how comedians play really good villains, and that guy who plays the bad guy is a comedian in Spain, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think we saw one of his other movies. I think he would have been in El Crimen Perfecto.
Yes.
He might have been in that, right?
I think it was in that.
He was maybe his boss or something. But yeah, it's a really, really good film. There's nothing bad to say about this movie. Brian, what the fuck are you going to say?
I think it's overrated.
Your face is overrated.
It's not the best Labyrinth movie that you could put on your list at all.
Oh, yeah. By far. Better than Labyrinth.
No.
Yep. The creatures are amazing.
The creatures are amazing. Listen, I really like Pan's Labyrinth.
You're just racist because it's Mexican.
No, because when it came out, everybody just treated it like it's the best movie ever made. And
it was the best movie.
It's not even Guillermo del Toro's best movie. It's not even his best Spanish Civil War movie.
You know what it's better than? The Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Definitely. Definitely better than all three of Lord of the Rings, whether you put them together as one or fucking three.
Look, I love the creatures. I like the cinematography. There's some great gore sequences. It's just, it doesn't hit every note. You know, it doesn't.
It hits every note. Like I said, it hits every note. And the creatures are amazing. It's got a great story. And unlike Lord of the Rings, it's only 2 fucking hours.
If you want to see.
And I like the character. I like the main character.
Yeah,
in this one.
I love the main character.
But I mean, everybody talks about.
Jesus, guys.
Everybody
come
was
on.
Like, oh, the everybody talked for hours about how the pale man, how amazing he is. And he's in it for like 2 seconds. And it's like, how can he be amazing when he's barely in the fucking
movie? We don't want to overplay him.
He still looks good, unlike the CGI in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Jesus. And the fairies look amazing.
And that's where we end the CGI podcast tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
We should just call this shit on Lord of the Rings episode.
Okay, I feel bad. Yeah, I really. Yeah. It's just. I don't hate Lord of the Rings as much. It's just fun. Brian, I'm upset about it.
You don't get to see my expression.
And he writes notes when he's upset.
Kill. No, he's doing kill.
They are an amazing cinematic achievement. And I'm sorry.
If you want to see Guillermo del Toro's masterpiece,
see Pan's Labyrinth. You're
go
right.
See Brian, the Devil's Backbone. It should be on. I don't know if it's on your guys' ghost list. I didn't finish that yet.
It was.
That's his best movie. By far.
That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on might be. I have it though.
It was.
It was on Netflix.
Yeah.
Right. And it's awesome.
And yes. little fact, they effed up. What am I say effed up? Fucked up. They fucked up the subtitles.
F's the new fucked.
Yeah.
Get with it.
They really
you're great, Craig.
They messed up all the subtitles to all his Spanish movies. So in this movie, he actually did all that he requested that he do the subtitles himself. So he wrote the.
You think you're better than me because you're Mexican? You know these things.
What movie did he mess up the subtitles?
Well, the company's the studio.
Kronos.
Like Kronos, The Devil's Backbone.
Oh,
is,
okay.
It's off a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I feel that too.
It is. It's kind of a shame. Like I wish there was a copy where he kind of I wish he would
why
go back.
And
read.
I think Criterion probably fixed it with Kronos.
Yeah, yeah,
they probably fixed it with that one.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Devil's Backbone, please, Criterion.
Yeah. So check out that movie. It's a masterpiece. Unlike what Brian said.
Don't listen to me,
Kevin.
Okay,
you're number one.
Recap.
Yeah.
Number 5 was The Purple Rose of Cairo. 4, The Neverending Story. 3, Labyrinth. 2, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and my number 1 is Princess Mononoke.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
That was another conscious choice I made. I was like, I don't have any cartoons.
Go and talk about, but honorable mentions, basically Miyazaki's filmography. Just throw it all in there. I just didn't want to make a whole list of that.
Yeah, well, this is my favorite Miyazaki.
Yes, yes, that too.
It's fantastic. The main character, Ashitaka, is just awesome. I love his strength, and I just love how he is as a warrior, and just how he goes through the story and just keeps pushing on, even though he's got this sickness in him. He's
well, the first time you see
it,
you have no idea what's going on. Like,
yeah.
Like what? There's this crazy boar, and there's this thing
creepy
on his
and scary. And when it gets on his arm and it starts taking,
like,
him
I had no idea where it was going to go. And then you get the whole forest spirit stuff with when the princess shows up and this mining town thing,
yeah.
and you're like, what is happening?
Yeah, and I mean, there's.
there's not really a definitive. I mean, even though the woman who runs the mining town can be a could be the bad guy, she's still the people that she has in this town are all these outcasts from other societies.
Yeah, it's not black and white.
It's not black and white, no. And I love that about it. It's not like, oh, here's the villain, and you gotta be against her. No, there's no definitive villain. I mean, people, it's very gray. And I mean, the way just Ashitaka progresses through it, and he gets shot, and at one point, one of my favorite scenes is he's carrying the princess. Somebody shoots him, and most people would have the way
he walks through, it.
And he pushes. Then he goes and pushes this gate where this guy's like, it takes 8 guys to open this, and he's pushing it, and blood just keeps pouring on the ground from his wound, and he pushes the gate open by himself with one hand. And
was this the first Miyazaki you saw?
No, it was Spirited Away was my first.
Oh, okay. Well, because Ebert put on his top 10 that year, and so I was like, what's this? And starting to discover anime films. And it's funny because it's the weird one out of Miyazaki's filmography. It's the R-rated, violent one. The rest are pretty much kids' films. Mm-hmm. And this one has, like, arrows popping heads off and stuff. And, like you said, really bloody shit. And it's just, it's fantastic. He draws nature.
Yeah.
Amazing. There's a lot of environmental message in there. I just love that movie.
Yeah, and the characters are all unique and interesting. It's terrific.
Did you see it, Jay?
Have
you
seen it? I haven't seen it yet. No.
Have you seen any Miyazaki?
I don't know that I have. I'm not sure.
That's cool.
What's another Miyazaki?
Spirited Away.
I've seen Spirited Away, but it's been I don't remember
Castle in the Sky.
Have a couple of beers.
Fantastic.
And then watch the movies. They're really great.
Yeah, I love Miyazaki.
Because it's funny because I think Spirited Away is probably the most straight up fantasy.
Yeah,
because it's a bit like Alice in Wonderland type thing, but Mononoke, I think.
I just love the little fantasy elements in it. Yeah. I mean, it's a period piece with fantasy elements.
I was just thinking about today, too. Did anybody see the new Snow White and the Huntsman trailer?
No. I want to see it, though.
There's totally, I'm like, are they?
The movie, not
I don't
the
know
trailer.
if Miyazaki just took from Folklore or something, or are they ripping off Miyazaki? Because there's like a scene where she goes into the forest, and I'm like, that's the forest spirit. And there's creatures that it's very much Miyazaki stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised if he took from Folklore.
Yeah. He's great, though. I enjoy everything he does.
Yeah, see all of them.
Yeah.
Bong Young. I like saying
indeed.
That.
Is that one Miyazaki, too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. So, number one, wrapping up.
You sound really enthusiastic about this.
Yeah.
We've also been talking about an hour and 45 minutes, so.
Fucking
okay, so my number five was The Neverending Story. Number four was Willow. Number three was Conan the Barbarian. Number two was The Princess Bride, and number one is a tie with The Adventures of Baron Munchausen and not The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I love that movie, not The Lord of the Rings.
Time Bandits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about doing a tie.
Yeah.
But I was just like,
I love them both. They're just,
I love them too. Yeah, because it's great. Yeah. It's honorable mention for sure.
I grew up watching Time Bandits. I don't even know. I don't know how I had a copy of Time Bandits growing up because my dad doesn't remember taping that. It's like he has a Terry Gilliam block. Like, he doesn't know anything involving Terry Gilliam. He can't see it.
I was raised on Monty Python. My mom made sure I saw Holy Grail when I was like 6.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's Monty Python. Yes, it's Gilliam, but just the weirdness, the how much more crazy Time Bandits is.
When you have his room and it's like,
It's stretching out.
I mean, there's so many elements in there that stick with you when you're a kid because you're like, I've never seen something like this. Yeah. This is crazy.
And like the sound design of that movie when they're pushing that wall, that weird like, whoa. Yeah.
Well, and it's scary, like we've said in other films. And it's got that the great, you know, you have most films where it's like, oh, there's a kid in there. So kids like it because it's like, oh, I'm on an adventure with them. But it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
You know? Well, because it's about his parents, really.
And then it does all of these elements of fantasy because you get Robin Hood, you get Agamemnon. You get the Titanic, which isn't fantasy, but
lots of time travel.
They do it. Lots of time travel. God and the devil.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
And then when they go to the time of legends, I love that. And you've got like what the ogre and then the giants. It's just such a fun.
I need to
rewatch
that
movie. Yeah, it's a great movie.
So you have like I was saying, his trilogy would be Time Bandits, Kid, Middle Age, Brazil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Old Age. Baron Munchausen, but Brazil to me isn't.
It's more sci-fi to me than fantasy.
Yeah, and like I said, satire. It's much more.
Yeah,
it's good satire.
I like your new Brian voice. Mm. It's very Kermity, and you don't like
you don't like the puppets.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
When I do Ricardo's voice, he has a lisp. So we're even.
What's up, guys?
No, you can't do it.
Sorry.
Like he's from Barcelona.
I like Pan's Labyrinth, guys.
Wow. that just took it to another place. Anyway, so Time Bandits, Baron Munchausen, great movies, great double feature.
I love that you put Munchausen number one with that, too. Though.
Yeah, I love them both so much. They're just, like, when I...
It's things you haven't seen in other films. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he...
What happened to Terry Gilliam?
I don't know. He made, Brothers Grimm and Tideland, which I really did not like. Yeah. And, like, he did a little... Have you seen the... Watched it on DVD where he's got his little intro before the movie? No. And it's just... it's really... It's hard to watch.
Has anybody seen Jabberwocky?
I've seen bits and pieces of Jabberwocky.
Growing up, searching out, hey, I like this, I like that. Oh, he's got this film called Never got around to it, just for some reason.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. And then, along with these two, part of me wanted to have Monty Python and the Holy Grail as a three-way tie. But I was like, I'm not going to go too ridiculous.
Yeah, I put it as an honorable mention.
Yeah, it's an honorable mention.
What do you mean, African or European?
Have you seen Time Bandits, Jenny?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but not Munchausen?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
So, that was it.
Cool. Honorable mentions. Don't fucking talk forever, Brian.
You guys, everybody mentioned pretty much everything. I'd throw out Edward Scissorhands.
Definitely.
In there. Yeah. It's more of a fairy tale, but it's awesome. Because
technically...
How many?
I'm just gonna
fairy tales are fantasy.
No. The reason I didn't put it on was technically it's science fiction because the mad scientist makes a guy.
Oh,
it's
boom!
It's really a fairy tale, though. I mean, and what's great about it is there's not too many modern a new fairy tale. Anyways, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory,
the older one.
Yes, that's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is the shitty one.
Oh yeah, I forget.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I forget. I don't like it, so I forget.
It's amazing and scary, and it's just that's one of those Gene Wilder.
It is. I was on the fence on that one.
Me too.
I love it, but as far as fantasy.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And other than, obviously Spirited Away, Prince Mononoke, anything Miyazaki, Castle in the Sky is one of my favorites. And anything Harryhausen, you throw in Sinbad, Jason the Argonauts.
Which one?
Chasing the Argonauts. Seventh Voyage.
I prefer Golden Voyage.
They're all cool.
Mm.
I mean, I
think...
I can't... you were saying how some of those, a lot of Bruce Lee movies, how they blend.
Yeah.
With me, it's just, they all sort of blend. They're all fun, good.
I just feel like his work was better in The Golden Voyage than...
I didn't pick one specifically, though, because, again, it's a little more adventure.
I tried to rewatch...
Fantasy.
I count as many.
No, it counts.
The,
I'm saying...
The second one, Golden Voyage, because there's... The Golden Voyage has Tom Baker in it. Mm-hmm. Simba. but yeah, he's a sorcerer, and you've got.
If I had to pick, I'd say Argonauts probably. Yeah.
I don't know. I tried to rewatch Clash of the Titans, the original. It is not as good as I remember it being when I was a little kid.
But yeah, it's still fun.
Yeah,
Jenny.
Honorable mentions. Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gremlins. Edward Scissorhands. Holy Grail. I put Hook. It's a nostalgia thing for me. I'm a Hook fan.
Ruby.
Rubio. Rufio.
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 Rufio. Yeah.
Ruby.
Brian.
Rufio.
I've been watching basketball too much.
No, you haven't. You haven't.
Rufio. Oh, and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Huge Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Really?
Never seen it.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Yes, really. Really? Really? You're going to really me?
Really.
You like Lord of the Rings, Brian. Shut up.
She's got Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang's a good one.
All right. Is that the end of your list?
Yep.
Oh.
That's 11. Come on.
Okay.
Herbie.
I only have 3. And plus, a lot of you guys have mentioned a lot of the ones I picked. I have Big. I have Flight of the Navigator.
Gary Ross, Big.
Yeah.
Flight of the
Navigator.
Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah. The one with the kid.
That's science fiction.
That's more science fiction.
Is it really?
It is. It's an alien.
It's an alien.
Okay.
Compliance.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess. again, you guys mentioned Crow. The Crow. The Crow is fantasy.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to save it for later.
Okay.
There ain't no coming back.
He's all, here's the Devil's Night. My new favorite holiday.
The Crow's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yep. Victims, aren't we all?
I had Excalibur. The Dark.
I haven't seen Excalibur.
I was rewatching it for this. I was like, "What
is it good?"
This?
It visually amazing. The score is awesome, but at times it does get really cheesy.
Which one? Really weird. Excalibur.
Oh yeah.
Excalibur.
Yeah.
There's
nudity in that, isn't there?
There is. Yes. Mm-hmm. It gets very bizarre. I love Patrick Stewart.
Check.
Oh, Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart's so good in this. But it's just such a weird movie.
It's crazy.
I love all the battle.
Was that Borman?
Yeah, Borman.
All the fight scenes, which they remind me of Gilliam movies. Like, yeah. Especially the opening scene. Yes. Like, I just feel like Baron Munchausen is going to come riding through. Or the Time Bandits are going to be stealing their armor in
just
the
a flesh wound.
That too. And oh, well, then they have the scene in this where Arthur goes to fight Lancelot on a bridge. And yeah. I always think...
Is it after Monty Python, Holy Grail, though?
It might be. Yeah, yeah it's yeah. after. But yeah, so it's like they weren't thinking, because all I think
they
of
were unaware.
Is the Black Knight. And Arthur's the one in black armor. It's such a weird scene. It's a bizarre
Bring
movie.
Out the
I love
hand
it
grenade of
for
Antioch.
How weird it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's really weird. I watched this as a kid. The Dark Crystal, Princess Bride, Willow, and Edward Scissorhands.
Okay. I think everything...
Don't
on,
copy my list next time, okay?
Everything on my honorable mentions list has been Fuck mentioned, you, except you, for... this other movie from 1986.
Fuck you, Kevin.
Dude, he's just stop. Just stop.
I just turned off his microphone.
Oh, sweet. The Golden Child.
Yeah, I love Murphy. The Golden Child.
I love this movie, but it didn't make the list because I rewatched it this week, and it doesn't quite hold up.
Aww.
Do any of your films hold up? You just like are self-admitting that they're nostalgia only.
No, I just said Willow holds up. Neverending Story. It's a little slower, or it's faster than I remember it being. I love everything on my list.
Okay,
I would still watch it. Yeah, no. The only thing I said maybe was Neverending Story. I said Legend didn't hold up, and that's not on my list, and not even an honorable mention.
Okay, I believe you.
No.
There's about to be a hate crime in here, folks.
Oh, Beastmaster, guys.
Beastmaster.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say.
No, Masters of the Universe.
Did you?
I know.
Hold on.
Wait,
Beastmaster.
Yeah. That's a special.
Did you actually rewatch it for this?
Yes.
Rewatch what?
It's
Beastmaster.
It's
so
awful.
Fucking bad.
But
they painted a tiger black.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's yeah. right.
Painted a tiger black.
I remember seeing some like Beastmaster knockoff that was like
Beastmaster
2? Porn. You know, it was like
Fuckmaster.
What?
Yeah, I was like 4, and I remember like, hey,
why were you? What the fuck? What were your parents doing when you were a child? Let's just let our child watch porn and grope the Oracle from the Neverending Story.
It was like a sleepover, and they had cable, and I was like midnight, and I turned on the TV, and I'm like, hey, there's like Beastmaster. This looks cool. Oh, what are they doing?
Whoa.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
It could have just been Beastmaster, and I like my brain made it seem like it was more pornographic than it was. Like a sequel
Beastmaster's
that had...
Beastmaster's pretty weird sexually.
Is there some sexual stuff in
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
at the age of 6, he was getting turned on by the Oracle. So
yeah. So you were probably just watching
He's
the
like
Beastmaster
with his loincloth.
This has not been a good episode for my parents.
What weirded me out about Beastmaster rewatching it at the very beginning was... the way that they do the three witches and like, let's make them sexy, but then their faces look like the guys from Trash Humpers.
Yeah. Oh, don't even remind me of
Trash Humpers.
But yeah, it doesn't hold up. I couldn't finish it. I was like, I'm done. I'm sorry, Mark Singer. I can't finish this movie again. I can't believe I loved it so much as a kid.
It'd be scary to see Trash Humpers saying things like, I'm Leprechaun.
Yeah, no, that moment passed.
So, yeah. Oh, you know what I forgot to mention? Ewok, the Battle for Endor. That's more fantasy than
Would
Star
you stop
Wars.
Trying to convince me Star Wars is fantasy, please?
Ewok, because there's a witch in it, and she turns into a crow.
Word.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
Macbeth.
Wicked.
Then anyway, Masters of the Universe.
Yes, let's talk about
Masters of the Universe. How
badass is that movie, dude?
I still kind of love this movie.
It's
an honorable mention.
When it first came out and I saw it, I'm like, what the fuck is this, dude?
I watched it
Masters
all the
of the Universe. And then as I... give it a second viewing. I loved it, and
well,
I and
it made
I still
me really it. Conflicted about Dolph Lundgren because of Rocky IV. I'm like, wait a minute, but he killed.
But I
Apollo
like him in this.
Creed.
Yeah,
I can't. He can't be he, man.
Yeah,
that doesn't work.
And then awesome Frank
Langella
as
Skeletor.
Skeletor
is awesome.
What?
More eviler than Skeletor.
Who's the girl? Who's the girl?
Courtney Cox.
Is
in it.
Yeah,
huh? Courtney Cox is in it.
Oh yeah.
And then what's her name? Huh? Who plays
what?
The girl with the crazy blue eyes? Who's in?
Oh, Meg Foster.
Yeah, Meg Foster's in it.
I think that's all we need to talk about.
No, it's amazing. What are you?
I
talking
mean, come
about?
On, you got to play music.
You know what?
To
I,
open
I,
up the portal.
I recently read
also Zelda like.
I read the first 10 pages of what was supposed to be the reboot of it. And it was pretty amazing. It was like sci-fi. It's like it was really like it was heavy on the sci-fi, and it was a really cool blend of sci-fi and fantasy. So.
And then Billy Barty is in it, and he was also in Willow and Legend, and basically any movie with a short person. He's in Foul Play.
Yeah,
I love Billy Barty.
Is he in Time Bandits?
He might be. in the background.
Is
somewhere.
Dolph Lundgren Time Bandits?
Time Bandits. No. Time Bandits has the best midget cast ever.
I believe that's not a PC term anymore. I think it's Little People.
I don't care.
You just call them the N-word, dude.
You just said you don't like it when people yeah, say that.
I know. I put it in people's heads.
Just say nigger.
Whoa.
Well, go to the website. You're going to get some hate mail, dude.
I'm allowed to say it. You fuckers can't say it.
No. Don't test me.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
You will get hate mail.
Can I say it? Yeah. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
No, please don't.
Midget.
So much hate mail.
I know. But anyway, cool list. And that is it. Right?
Jenny gave up. She's on her phone now. She's I don't know if you go back and watch this.
Why would people watch this?
She hasn't said anything for 20 minutes.
Really? 20 minutes?
She checked out.
Well, when you started talking, she's like, boring.
When everyone started shitting on
Can
each other.
Can we get
other.
Some cupcakes no, now? Let's wrap this up.
All right. So that's it for this week. And, yep. Have a good week.
What?
Oh, sorry. What are we doing? What are we doing?
So Twitter.
Business. Oh, yeah, business.
Where you can follow us.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I almost tricked you guys into turning it off. Okay, so the website is thelistfilmpodcast.com. Twitter is... The Film Podcast. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Jhenea, JHENEIGH.
I'm at N Adam Scott, AN_AdamScott.
I'm at K Zuberbier, that's ZUBERBIER.
I'm at Brian with a Y, PARRILL. And shootingthescript.com.
Yeah, shootingthescript.com. But I feel like people are going to try to go to at Brian with a Y.
BRYANPARRILL.
Is it still shootingthescript.wordpress or is it just
You can just go to
shootingthescript.com.
Nice. Thank God, dude.
Way to go, guys.
That was really confusing.
That was a lot of words for you to remember.
Heyo.
I have a hard time keeping up with what number we're on.
What number are we?
Yeah. What number are we? So, again, for those of you who are still listening, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, Why not come through us? Go through our link. Go to Amazon, and Amazon will throw us a couple shekels. Go through us. That's what I said. All right, guys. So Amazon, hit our link. Come on, guys. All right, guys.